This is PFW in progress.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen. Cannonball!
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
Do you know who I am? I'm kind of a big deal. People know me. I'm very important. I have many leather-bound books. And my apartment smells of rich mahogany.
Paul Perillo.
I'm all about having fun. You know, get a couple of cocktails in me, start a fire in someone's kitchen, maybe go to SeaWorld, take my pants off. Anyway, I become kind of famous for my signature catchphrase.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
And Andy. And Andy?
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals. He had a voice that could make a wolverine purr. And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo. In other words, Cindy was the balls.
Andy Hart.
I'm the stylish one of the group. I know what you're asking yourself, and the answer is yes. I have a nickname for my penis. It's called the Octagon, but I also nickname my testes. You ladies play your cards right, you just might get to meet the whole gang.
And some guy named Tom.
People seem to like me because I am polite, and I'm rarely late. I like to eat ice cream, and I really enjoy a nice pair of slacks. Years later, a doctor will tell me that I have an IQ of 48 and am what some people call mentally retarded.
PFW in progress.
Gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight, gonna grab some afternoon delight.
Skyrockets in flight. Afternoon delight. Afternoon delight.
PFW in progress here. Is that working here? It doesn't sound right to me. You guys hear me?
Sounds fine to me.
All right, well.
Except for what you're saying.
we're off to a rousing start. PFW in progress here on a Tuesday afternoon. Paul Perillo, Andy Hart, Tom Casale with you. Well, I'll only be with you for the first hour, so you guys will get that benefit. Andy and Tom will take you through the second hour, coming off another victory for your New England Patriots, a 24-17, probably closer than it had to be win over the Jets on Sunday. We'll talk about that. We'll also look ahead a little bit. The Broncos coming to town. Tom Casale working on the preview in the latest issue of Patriots Football Weekly. Obviously, a revenge game. Revenge factor will be heavy on the minds. Richard Seymour talking about it already yesterday. So we'll talk about that. We'll get some thoughts there. Let's see. What else? Interesting item, I thought. You know, coming over the wires in NFL circles, Patriots have recently worked out three safeties, and all their names are escaping me. Keon Carpenter is one, Lance Schulters is another one, and Alexander.
Yeah, Benny Alexander.
Is it Benny Alexander?
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
I thought Benny Alexander was an offensive lineman.
What is it? It's not Bernie. It's the name escapes me. I know who he is. I just can't remember the name.
Okay. Well, anyway. There is, over the wires recently that the Patriots have worked those out. Boston Globe today had that item. Mike Reese's notebook had the item in it. He kind of speculates, I think probably correctly, that it might be an indication of some concern with injuries at the safety spot. You know, we saw James Sanders leave the game on Sunday. Artrell Hawkins was not even on the trip as he's nursing an injury. This could be a concern, so we'll talk about that. And if you want to participate in any of that conversation or something else that we haven't really brought up, like the scintillating Monday night game between the Jags and the Steelers last night, 9-0 win for Jacksonville, we can talk about that as well. Web radio at Patriots.com.
That's one of the worst games I ever saw.
Absolutely. But web radio at Patriots.com, if you can come up with a worse game than that to argue with Tom about, because there's nothing quite like arguing with Tom Casale. So, yeah, the Steelers and Jags last night, I think two pretty good teams. I don't think they're great, but they're pretty good teams, but they both looked awful last night. And I one of the things that bothers me in those kinds of games, and I know it bothers Tom too, is the whole, oh, that's just great defense. Well, yeah, both teams do have very good defenses. I'm not saying that they don't. But a lot of it is bad offense.
Right.
When you see that kind of, when you have 150 yards of offense, You have to be pretty bad offensively for
when
for
it's 0-0 at the half. I mean, you can't even score. That's
a 16-13 game, a 13-10 game. That's good defense.
Yeah,
but that's when you get when you have two teams get together that play the similar style where they want to run the ball, play defense. Their offense isn't great. They don't have a high powered pass. When they both kind of play the same way, it can work out that way sometimes.
My argument would be Saturday's game between Auburn and LSU was 7-3, and I was on the edge of my seat the whole time. It was good defense playing against, you know, they were making plays, and this was just, I mean, Leftwich was missing guys wide open. The Steelers weren't even close. I don't know what they were trying.
It's another quarterback who wasn't ready to play.
Big Ben had 104-degree fever. He wasn't getting the job done, and I thought they should have made the switch to Charlie Batch when it was 3-0. Late in the third quarter, but they kept him in there, and he wasn't even close.
I agree. Andy's just going to take the first hour off, evidently, and read the paper.
Well, you're the host. I thought you would steer the ship, and I look over, and you're playing with your computer.
I was going to try to move the computer over here so I could
see it. Having problems
because
you've been fighting with the mic arm thing.
Well, the mic's a little bit different on this side than it is over there. You have more tables so it can come out. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
But I am liking the new headphones that we have in our studios here at Gillette Stadium.
We haven't gone over the news of the week. Fred Kirsch going 15-1 on his picks.
Well, I thought the listeners would definitely get enough of that when Fred is actually on the show.
Well, I'm trying to prepare them for it for Thursday.
To show you how bad Fred generally does at picking, he went 15-1. Now, we're in week two, right? So we only picked 2 weeks. He went 15-1 in one of those weeks, yet he only has a one-game lead over Indy. That's how bad he generally picks.
I'm in second place?
Yeah.
Nice.
And Tom and I are one game behind you.
I say Fred will not finish within a dozen games of any of us.
That's a good one we'll throw out there. I owe him $10, though.
Will not be within a dozen games.
Can you guys make that bet? Because I do already owe him $10.
I'll bet him.
He's obnoxious.
He is obnoxious. Like, we're on a quiet, dark bus driving back, and he just keeps yapping about it. Keeps, like, throwing little things out there.
He yelled it in the press box at the Meadowlands. By the way, Paul, you owe me $10.
You want to make $5 the hard way?
Evidently, he did it twice.
And it was pretty easy for him.
I bet him that the Raiders would score at least 10 points on Sunday, and they only got 6, and despite, you know, I think 5 trips to the red zone. And, you know, why did they take Aaron Brooks out of the game immediately?
Well, he got hurt.
He got hurt. He got hurt the first game. He left him out there to take 9 sacks.
Yeah, whatever. Well,
Paulie's out 2 to 4 weeks.
He's hurt.
No, obviously, he shouldn't have played the game at all.
Injured.
He was injured from the San Diego game. But another example of the quarterback not being ready to play, and he's out there.
I don't know what's going on over there. They don't even look like they're trying.
Who, the Raiders
you're
talking about?
I think they're
trying.
I mean,
just says what they are.
Your offensive line can't possibly be that bad. You could find guys off the street that could block better than that. That's embarrassing.
How's Gallery doing? Is he at left tackle?
He missed the game.
Injured. He's out 2 to 4 weeks.
He missed that game with a leg injury.
They call it Raideritis. Nobody wants to play, so they're all, you know who's coming next. Randy Moss. Geez, that hamstring. I tweaked it. You know that's coming.
All right, so Sunday at the Meadowlands, Patriots game, for a time, it went exactly the way I think some of us thought it was going to go. I thought the Patriots were going to win this game going away.
I had everything half written at halftime.
I had made the comment that I thought that the letdown for the Patriots, you know, the whole Deion Branch letdown thing, happened against Buffalo and that they'd be right back on par and would really outclass an inferior opponent. And for 2.5 quarters, that's what happened. 24-0. The game didn't seem even that close. And then all of a sudden, one play seemed to change the whole complexion of the game, the Cotchery play, where Eugene Wilson had him low. Chad Scott buried him with a good hit, but didn't wrap him up and tackle him. I mean, hard to fault him.
But
on
he kind of
like
did.
That.
I watched the replay. His arms were out. And
yeah, he did wrap him up.
He didn't wrap in like the sense of he ended up on the ground with him. But when he didn't do one of those hands down by his side, launch himself for a big hit. He had his arms out there, almost like a form-type tackle, and you can't fault him because
absolutely,
999,000 times that the play is over.
I said that.
It was an amazing just set of circumstances where Eugene Wilson was perfectly in place for him to lean on.
Great foot play.
If you watch it, his foot that he's propped up on, he's on the very tiptoe, so he should be down on the shin. Every other time he goes down, he just didn't.
And the guy who did not play well and has kind of been feeling the wrath of the fans is Wilson.
I agree.
Not be on
but
both
not
long
that play.
He missed some. No, no that,
not on that,
that
play.
That was
but
just
their worst play is when he looked
that
like
was
crap.
That was just a great individual effort. There's right. nothing you can do about that. Some plays you just can't do anything about. But he missed some tackles, and the fans have started to notice and have been riding him pretty hard the last couple.
He
of
wasn't
days.
Great last year.
Well, that's the thing.
He faded last year.
Andy wanted me to kind of steer the ship, so I'll throw this topic out there first, and we're talking about it's kind of related to Wilson in that you brought him up, but I wanted to get your impression overall, not just Wilson, but I think we're all in agreement that Cotchery play was just one of those kind of once a season kind of, you know, maybe even once in a lifetime kind of a play where you could see it happen 100 times and 99 of them the guy would end up, and that was I would put that kind of in the fluke category.
What'd you say, Tom Cole said that it was the greatest play he's ever seen? Yeah. One of them.
Yeah.
I wanted to get your impression. Do you think that the 17 unanswered points that the Jets came up, would you put it in the fluke category or, you know, as a result of that Cotchery play and, you know, more or less it was a dominant performance? Or is there any cause for concern? Because it seems like the media and the general reaction of New England right now over the last day and a half is kind of split. There's been some that are saying nothing to worry about at all. The Patriots played a great game. The Jets were lucky to be that close, if not for a few unfortunate, fluky kind of things. And then the other camp is Patriots just aren't good enough to put the foot on the throat of an inferior opponent anymore.
I'd be in the middle of that, Paul.
Yeah, me too.
I'd say that was
that makes for great radio.
No, that was a third down play. Sucked. And if Cotchery doesn't make that catch, I bet you the Jets won't even score in that
game. Well, just so you know, the catch is going to be made. No, I'm saying
right. if he had knocked the ball loose, I'm saying if Scott had jarred the ball, I'm saying if that play totally changed everything. My point was if they didn't get that third down, I bet you the Jets would have never even scored.
On the other side, I believe if they didn't go for a quarterback sneak on first down, there's a chance they score a touchdown there, and then they're riding the momentum. They're in control. To some degree.
Yeah, well, the other why I was in the middle was the other end was I thought Jet receivers were open all day. I personally think Pennington sucks.
Right.
That's why I don't think that it was necessarily nothing to worry about. I do agree that play was a fluke, but it was a first down. Maybe you draw the ball loose, but then that's a fumble, and the play was there. I agree with Tom. I don't think they probably would have gone and scored. They got 71 yard touchdown. You know, the last 45 of which were a free ride. And I think if that didn't happen, there was a good chance the Jets weren't going to score. But I thought all day the Jets showed the ability to move the ball a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And they kept getting into Patriots territory and then would stop. And that's because the Patriots have a good defense and they played well. But it also it looked to me like there were some plays there for the Jets to make that they didn't make. I didn't think it was as much Pennington as Tom did, but for whatever reason, they didn't seem to make the play when they needed to make it. And then that kind of carried through right to the end because, you know, the defense is out there and, you know, they needed to get the ball back and they had several opportunities and just couldn't get a third down stop.
I would go worrisome simply because I thought the Patriots coming into these two games were far superior to the Bills and the Jets. And regardless of why, The only thing that matters is the score didn't show a far superior team playing a much weaker team. And I think that's a concern moving forward when there's teams that I thought the Patriots were going to be in a dogfight with or even were the inferior team. Now you have to beat those teams. And you certainly are not going to get by doing anything against the Cincinnati Bengals. You're not going to get by doing anything against a team like the Colts. You might not even get by against a team like the Broncos. We don't know, you know, where the Broncos are right now in terms of, because the Patriots played two games against AFC's teams that I thought stunk and were in a dogfight both times.
Yeah, I just think right now Denver's having a lot of troubles themselves.
They are.
And coming into Gillette against the front seven of the Patriots probably isn't going to bode well for them. To me, it all starts in Cincinnati. If you go to Cincinnati and get bombed, you're in big trouble. Because you're going to have to go through the Bengals and the Colts in the playoffs, and if you can't stop those offenses, then, you know, I don't care what you do with the Bills. They're not going to be in the playoffs.
It's going to be the same case as last year where we were questioning when they got on a run, were they building false hope, were they still not good enough to compete with good teams? You could see the same thing this year. All right, you get blown out by the Bengals. Maybe you get blown out by the Colts. But you're probably going to win games against other teams that you should win games against, get into the playoffs and say, oh, you know, we can do this, but Can you? Are you in the class of those two teams?
Yeah, I'm still not sure that the Patriots aren't in that class. I would admit that if they play the way they've played for the most part over the first 2 weeks, on paper, I wouldn't think that that would be good enough against the top level of the conference. But I also think it's early in the season, and, there's some kinks being worked out, particularly with the passing game. This is going to be kind of a developing thing. It's going to take some time. Richay Caldwell is going to take some time to get on the same page with Brady.
Get open.
And obviously, and I see one of the pre-mails that's already come in kind of addresses this, but we haven't, Brady, I think we can all admit here, is better than he's played the first two games. So I've seen him play so much better, even though I don't think he's been terrible. I've seen him play a lot better. I'm going to have to say that is at least partly because of the circumstances surrounding him.
He's missed a lot of throws.
He has.
Yeah, I got to tell you, some of you can say maybe the receiver wasn't where he thought he was going to be different, but that Ben Watson one, I thought that was an egregious. The quarterback just missed the throw. Even Watson, you could see just wanting the ball to get there and knowing it's not going to get there.
Yeah, but as bad as they looked, I'm watching the game last night. Those are supposed to be two of the best teams in the AFC. The Patriots can beat either one of those two teams on any Sunday.
See, I put both of those a class. I think it's Bengals Colts that are fighting for the top.
Oh, the Chargers got Billy Volek, by the way. I don't know if you guys knew that.
Yeah, no. Billy Volek spoke about that before it happened, and I guess there was a question Floyd Reese might not do it just because he was mad.
I think they'll be filing tampering charges on the Chargers. Oh, no, only pet. Oh, sorry.
When you mention the Bengals and the Colts, I think they're important simply because of the Patriots' defensive backfield. And those are the teams that they couldn't stop last year.
Right.
And we need to see them, even though the Colts don't have edge. I mean, if Manning just comes out and bombs away like he did last year, that's going to be a problem.
Well, to me, the Bengals are the huge test because they can do both. They can run the ball and throw the ball.
If they go to Cincinnati and get whooped, it's not going to be good.
I think there's at least a decent chance that happens.
And obviously, we'll get more into the Broncos later in the show, and also, obviously as we move further into the week. But the Broncos, you guys touched on, are in somewhat disarray right now, too. They're
offensively. They haven't given up.
They haven't
allowed
a touchdown. Having a lot of touchdown defensively.
The over-under for this game is going to be like 8.
But, offensively, Jake Plummer has not looked good. Do you know he's 32-12 as a starter for the Broncos? I thought that was kind of amazing.
He stinks.
He just doesn't seem to have played at that high a level, which shows you the whole, I don't like the whole win-loss record for quarterbacks, and that's apparently the reason why the
Broncos loved Maroney, loved him. And you know how they love a good running back. So apparently they had as many concerns as we did because they traded up to get Jay Cutler.
Right.
So it's not like they were saying, all right, we got Jake for 3 more years. Let's get Maroney now. And then so they had the same concerns we did.
And evidently Plummer's not handling it well. I mean, he's handling it with class. He's not becoming a problem about it. But you'd like to see, if I'm Mike Shanahan, I'd like to see him step up and say, hey, I'm the quarterback of this team. This is my job. I'm not playing well, but this is my job. And going forward, I'm confident that I'll be able to do so. But, instead, he's kind of like, Jay's going to be the quarterback in the future here. And I'm just, almost like he's apologetic.
Right.
About kind of being in the way.
And the difference is that, as Andy and I saw at the combine, Cutler has that moxie. He's got that. He'll step right in and take that job right over. So he's got to be careful with that.
All right, before we move on, continuing, we have a quick call. Craig in South Carolina. We haven't heard from Craig in a
crazy
long
Craig
time.
Crazy Craig is back. What's up, Craig?
Hey, I heard Paul in the background.
I got nothing.
Hello?
Hello.
Yeah, he can't hear us, sir, Jay.
Hello?
I heard Paul in the background. I got nothing.
Hello?
Hello?
I can't hear you guys.
Yeah, well,
we got a fill-in producer.
Let's put him down. We got, mini Gary, obviously not ready for the big job, so we'll have to move on. But this is my boy Ron Eberhardt,
by the way. Needs to turn his radio down.
News. Are you going to blame it on him that he can't hear us?
I'm going.
Come on, how many shows on EEI have you done and you've heard the same thing?
I've never been on EEI where they couldn't hear us. Anyway.
Sorry, Craig.
Craig, we'll try to get you back in a second, but
and I hope this doesn't mean you were fired.
I agree wholeheartedly with Tom, though. Cutler is one of those guys that he's kind of a you have to be to play at a school like Vanderbilt where you're losing. and maintain that confidence.
And not have the town around you, which he was willing to point out.
Yeah, which he was more than,
more than once.
I was the show.
Oh, yeah, he's definitely got it. And I don't necessarily fault Plummer. I'm sure it's a hard situation to be in, and you never really know how a person's going to react to it until they're in the situation.
And the thing, Andy, too, is I saw they're running for 153 yards a game. Where?
Right.
Because the running game is not what it's been in the past, and those numbers seem inflated to me because they're splitting carries, and I don't see any kind of established running attack right. that they usually have there.
I think we may have our problem straightened out. Craig, are you with us?
Craig? Hello?
Not quite ready for the big time, are you, Doc?
Craig?
All right, well, we're just a mess
All right,
here.
Amateur hours doop, over.
Doop,
That's
doop,
enough.
Doop, doop, doop. Is he coming in here to yell at me now?
Must have been a snake again. Knock the wire loose.
Go out there and get someone from the Rolling Stones to run this show.
Snakes in the studio. Where's Gary? Anyway.
Sorry, Craig, again.
But back to the Jets game, you know, for a little bit on Sunday, you know, whereas I agree with a lot of the people that have been, you know, taking the overly optimistic side of, you know, it was closer to a 24-0 game. I agree on the Cotchery play that is not a play that you can necessarily say was all the Patriots' fault. And I heard someone saying the Patriots didn't play to the whistle. That's a bunch of crap. There was no one there. I mean, once he got by that hit, when Chad Scott hit him, there was no one else there. Rodney chased him down.
Right.
He's not going to catch
Cotchery
in the open field ever, so it doesn't matter.
You know, so I didn't think it was necessarily like a lack of effort play. I just think it was a great individual effort.
That just happens.
But from that point on, I didn't think anything the Jets accomplished was fluky at all.
No.
Like that Coles catch and run, that's a great play.
Right.
It was
and
a bad play
and,
by the
right.
By the Patriots.
Conversely, bad tackling, just like the Ben Watson play in the playoffs last year.
Right.
A great play by Watson, but a play that the Jags, you know, had to look at, even with Peterson with the cast on his hand. That's a play that they can't allow to happen. The blindside sack and fumble. Fluky about that.
Right. And you know what I noticed, Paul? I think I saw an inexperienced coaching staff on the Jets sidelines. They didn't blitz at all for three quarters.
Right.
They just let Brady sit back there. And, you know, granted, Brady didn't have a lot of success, but when they started getting back in the game, they started sending some pressure on Brady, and it started causing some things. So I was surprised that they didn't do any of that. And then I know Pennington called the quarterback sneak, but that second down call to give the ball to a guy who's averaging 1.6 yards a carry up the gut, where Vince Wilfork has been there all day dominating, made no sense to me whatsoever.
I said that on the bus that as bad as that quarterback sneak was, I can overlook that because you think you see something.
Right.
It's the same as checking to a bomb. You know, you think you see, and obviously it doesn't work. You think you see a certain thing. It's just like a quarterback reading the coverage. You think you might see something.
Right.
You can make a mistake. They made a mistake. Whatever Chad thought he saw, he didn't see.
It's a young coaching staff.
But to ride that Derek Blaylock, a small little scat back, you know, Tom, you brought that up too, you know, in between the guards.
I don't think they got
it.
They couldn't
get
a yard on third and fourth and inches. I mean, I don't know what they thought they were going to accomplish with that play. I mean, try a sweep. Stop running at Vince Wilfork. He's not giving up any. Him and Warren were in the backfield all day.
Yeah, I guess the announcers, too, were talking about how, you know, running inside against the Patriots right now, you might as well not even try.
They're dominant.
They have absolutely been dominant.
Wilfork is the one who shows up, I think, even more so than the other two. There are times when maybe it's because they're double-teaming Seymour or whatever, the blocking schemes, but you see him one-on-one with a guy, and he just stands the guy up and then slowly pushes the guy 1 yard, 2 yard, 3 yards into the backfield.
Ty Warren made some big plays.
They are they're a scary D-line right now. Yeah. You notice all these big plays they're allowing that we're talking about happen behind the front seven?
Yeah.
No questions on the front seven in my mind right now. They are
what I would do.
The only fear I would say is to keep the guys, the key components healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think there's a lot behind, you know.
But you're not sold on Mike Wright like I am.
Well, I'm not saying that. I'm saying more so, you know, if
keep
Rabel,
Vince Wilfork healthy.
You know,
I know that because if Jonathan Sullivan's,
you know,
in there.
If you
it's
lose,
not going to be no 1.6 yards of carry.
If you lose, say, like Vrabel and Wilfork. Yeah, I'm not as happy. You know, I'm not as
Mike Wright can play a little nose.
He will. I mean, he'll have to.
Yeah, a little nose. Not a lot of nose.
He'll have to. All right, we're going to take third time's a charm here. If Jason doesn't get it done this time.
We're done.
That's it. Craig, you with us?
Yeah, I'm with you.
Yay! Round of applause. Finally got it done.
All right, my man. What's going on? I hope this doesn't mean, as Andy said, I hope this doesn't mean you're out of work now.
Well, actually, I'm employed, but I'm out of work because I just had some surgery, so.
Oh. Well, that's good news. No, I'm sorry. Well, I hope it's nothing serious.
I get to listen to you guys all week, right?
Right.
I'm sorry.
Right.
Take a lot of medication.
I'm already there, dude.
Good. So what's your impressions on the 2-0 Patriots? 2-0, by the way, for only the eighth time in 47-year history of the New England Patriots.
Well, it's great to be 2-0. You know, I've been listening to the show, and as usual, I agree with about 99% of what comes out of Paul's face. I haven't been particularly impressed. We've been running somewhat of a vanilla offense, in my opinion. Granted, it's early in the season. I think that the guys are going to come together as the season progresses. We'll see, you know, how the different combinations of wide receivers pan out. The biggest thing that concerns me at this point offensively is Brady. Either it's, you know, it's his timing or his delivery or something, but I just don't recall seeing him this inaccurate. And I, you know, you guys know I'm a diehard Pat fan. I mean, if I'm not watching the game, I'm listening to, you know, to Gil and the guys on the internet. So I listen to every game every week. But I just in watching it, I mean, I'm like, Brady, where are you throwing it, dude?
Yeah, no, look, he, for him to be at 50%, you know, he's a 61% plus career passer, and for him to be at 50% through two games, you know, it's somewhat eye-opening because we're not accustomed to seeing that. Now, part of that is because he's so good. He raises a standard that's, you know, maybe, you know, unfair because he's been so successful. But I'm surprised by it.
I think, you know, it takes more than one training camp to develop, you know, the chemistry and timing between quarterback and receivers. And with the exception of Troy Brown, you know, it's a, you know, pretty much a completely new receiver core. We got Childress going back out there, and you know, he's shown something. But I think, you know, Brady's thrown a few balls away. But then again, there was other passes, and I'm like, these guys have to, you know, run their routes crisply, and they have to catch the ball when it comes to them. Defensively, I agree completely with what you said, Paul. If there's a question, it's in our secondary.
Actually, Andy made that comment, but yeah, well, I agree as well.
Well, the way I look at this is between our linebacking crew and Rodney Harrison, he worked for years with Junior Seau, years now with Teddy. You know, I just feel like Rodney's still got a little bit of rust in him too. And I think that, you know, as the season progresses, we're going to hear his name mentioned a whole lot more. And I can't help but feel that we're going to finish at least 12-4 looking at the schedule. It's not by any means a difficult schedule this year, but we, you know, like you guys know, the football shape funny. It bounces different directions sometimes, but I can't see us going, you know, worse than 12-4. And looking at the immediate future, although we haven't had tremendous success against the Broncos, I think we're going to beat them up at right there at Gillette. It's going to be a great, you know, night game. It's going to be broadcast across the nation. The only game on, so that'll be awesome. And I think Pittsburgh is going to be going into Cincinnati this week. Cincinnati's already banged up real bad, and Pittsburgh's pissed. So I think they're going to slap some Bengals around, and by the time we get to them week after next, we might surprise some people.
All right, Craig. As always, the optimistic look from Craig in South Carolina. And I can't say I totally disagree with everything, but not so
yeah, but
sure about
this,
slapping the Bengals around.
What do you disagree with?
I don't think
they're
going to
be slapping the Bengals around.
No, you got the Broncos, you got the Bengals, you got the Colts, you have Jacksonville, you have Chicago, you have Minnesota at Minnesota, who's playing pretty good defense right now. It's kind of easy, but I wouldn't chalk up 12 wins. Yeah, I know, because they play, you know, the way they destroyed the Bills at home. I mean, I can't wait.
I didn't say they were good. Just because you have an easy schedule doesn't mean you win, but I think they have a pretty easy schedule.
He didn't say
they're going to win all those
right.
games.
It's pretty easy. But
the schedule is easy, and if they win 11 or 12 games, it'll probably be because of the schedule more than because of how good the team is.
But I'm just saying I wouldn't chalk up 12 or 13 victories just by looking at the schedule. There's some pretty good teams on that schedule. The Bears can come in here and shut you right down and get one of those 3-0 games where all of a sudden a bounce of a ball decides the game. So
it'll be very interesting to see how it all unfolds, because I know that that was the predominant mindset, and I certainly agreed with it, that the schedule is very favorable for the Patriots. I think that they have the difference, I think, between this year and last year is, I think, most of the, they have, you know, that they're, you rattled off the handful of, you know, difficult games, but it seems to me the other ones are, you know, are a little bit softer, you know, Tennessee and Houston, for example, two teams that I don't think even belong on the field. I don't think there were really that many. Green Bay. I don't think there was the amount of cupcakes.
Lions.
As they had last year.
Stupid how close they are to 40 points.
You know, as
by then they might be up. You know what I mean? They play them late in the year. By then, I think they'll be up to 40.
Looking all cylinders.
Unfortunately, it'll be 40 for the year.
All right, so the emails are coming in, guys. Webradio@patriots.com. We're going to get to those right after we take a quick break.
Rock and roll's most loved and enduring band, traveling the world on their biggest tour ever. And now they return to North America for an encore performance. Radiohead presents The Rolling Stones. September 20th, on stage at Gillette Stadium. The Rolling Stones. With special guest Kanye West. Don't miss this rare chance to catch the North American finale of their best show ever. The Rolling Stones. A bigger band. September 20th, Gillette Stadium. Special guest, Kanye West. Get reserves and tickets now at Ticketmaster.com or by phone at 617-931-2000. The student discounts available. After the Rolling Stones, everything else is just a concert.
Hey, sweetie, when I picked up the dry cleaning today, I put 43 cents into our savings.
I'll alert the media.
Introducing Keep the Change from Bank of America.
And at lunch, I put away 61 cents.
Really? That much?
Each time you buy something with your Bank of America Visa check card, we round up the amount to the next dollar and transfer your change from your checking to your savings account.
I checked online, and so far we've saved
$2.25. Wow. A whole $2.25.
Try $225.
Oh.
Plus, we'll match 100% of your Keep the Change savings for the first 3 months and continue matching 5% up to $250 a year.
I'm back from the store. Just saved 8 cents.
I'll alert the media.
Open a checking account and keep the change. Only at Bank of America. Higher standards. Match paid annually after anniversary of enrollment. Savings accounts include regular savings with annual percentage yield of 0.5%. Member FDIC. Patent pending.
The New England Patriots won an amazing 3 Super Bowl championships in 4 years. We live these defining moments in Patriots history with a limited edition print featuring action photos and images of the 3 championship banners that now hang at Gillette Stadium. And if you think that's good, how about having it signed by perennial Pro Bowler Richard Seymour?
It's gonna be shot. Richard Seymour.
This autographed print exclusively from the New England Patriots is perfect for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on the Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Patriots Extra Points card and free 3 championship banner print signed by Richard Seymour. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autograph print limited to the first 300 with qualifying purchase. Visit PatriotsExtraPoints.com for details.
The champ is here! The champ is here! The champ is here! The champ is here! The champ is here!
All the champs are here, my friend. We're all here. Andy, Tom, Paul, no Fred, so that's appropriate. Fred's not a champ. He's a chump. Even though he went 15-1, chimp would work as well. Absolutely. But obviously,
what's it called? The guy that's in between? The apes and the humans?
happy medium?
Chrome Magnum Man or whatever is the guy that's like, Chrome, you know, the little chart where it goes from monkey all the way up to human? Fred's in the middle somewhere.
I would have put him right at the beginning at monkey.
See, Paul's a chicken. He won't take shots at Fred.
I just called him a chump.
Yeah, but you jumped ship when we started talking about chimp.
Well, I started looking at the emails to get prepared. I promised the PFW in Progress listeners that we'd get to the emails when we return, so I can't disappoint, can I?
Okay, read them.
All right, here we go. First up is JJ in Ventura, California.
Hey, JJ.
All right, maybe it's just my crappy memory, but I don't remember there being nearly as many blocked field goals as there have been recently, as back to 10 years ago, say. Help me validate this. Are there more blocked field goals now?
No. I don't know.
I don't. How many times do you see a blocked field goal?
Patriots blocked a couple in the preseason.
I feel like it's about the same as it's always been, but I have nothing.
Yeah, I just...
I mean, I'm sure we could look. There's got to be a total per year of blocked field goals.
Yeah, there's got to be some sort of stats somewhere that we could get. Maybe we can look at
that. I just don't remember seeing that many during the regular season of the NFL. You see them in college because college kickers can't kick.
Yeah, I don't feel like it's suddenly this huge abundance of blocked field goals, but we'll put our intern Kyle on it.
Yeah.
So you'll never know.
And in 3 years, we'll get back to you.
All right, Ryan's next up, and he said, I kept my word and didn't listen to any football talk until Sunday. The break helped me avoid all the negative Deion Branch talk last week. Now, how do you know it was negative talk if you didn't listen?
I know.
I noticed something last season, and it has shown up again in the first two games of this season. Tom Brady often calls out line protections to his offensive linemen. He points out the mic and sometimes other positions. When he does this, I immediately know it's going to be a pass because he never does this on running plays. I'm guessing opposing defenses will pick up on this tendency, too. If it's third and long, then the defense is expecting a pass anyway, so that's not really a problem. But I've noticed him frequently doing this in non-obvious passing situations. My question is Brady giving the defense an easy tip about his intention to pass on a given play by calling out protections in this way? And why doesn't he ever mix it up and do it on a running play?
That's zero out slot. Well,
Ryan in New Brunswick, Canada.
Let me ask you. I'll just pick one out of the air. Dom Capers is a defensive coordinator. How many hours a day you think he sleeps? One, two, maybe? I mean, all he does is watch film. If you saw it on TV, every defensive coordinator on the planet has seen it through their extensive film watching, and apparently it's not giving anything away because they would know about it by now, and Brady would stop doing it. He's way too smart of a quarterback to be doing something that he knows other people are picking up on.
I'll take it a step further and say that it's actually incorrect because he calls out the Mike linebacker on every single snap.
And it's not setting pass protection. It's setting blocking. It's setting blocking schemes, run or pass.
So. Right. And he does that on every single play, whether it be mini camp, training camp, regular season, postseason, whatever. That has been the protocol. It was the protocol before Brady was even the quarterback since Belichick got here. Bledsoe called out the mic on every play. Damon Heward called out the mic. Every quarterback the Patriots have had since Belichick has been the coach. That's the one requirement before the cadence every single play. And I've never seen that not done since Belichick has been the coach. I don't think that's necessarily tipping off the play.
I did a little pre-week preparation. I watched the Comcast on-demand highlights of the Chiefs-Broncos. And first of all, Heward almost pulled out that would have been a nice little victory for Heward. And
Big Damon Heward fan, by the
way. Ty Law had a tough day. I mean, obviously I haven't seen him play a lot.
I thought he had a beef on that big play in overtime.
He had a tough day where they must have shown five or six plays where he was beaten, got passes completed on him. Then I was watching a lot, and he wasn't on the field, so I don't know if he's still limited or if he got shaken up in that game, but there were times where he was not one of the defensive backs on the field.
But he gave up the big completion to Javon Walker in overtime, and I thought
he claimed he pushed off.
I thought he was right on that. Then I don't think they call that penalty nearly enough.
I just think Ty Law might be slipping.
Well, I mean, I think that he probably is slipping. I mean, a lot of people said...
I thought he's supposed to be healthy this year. He's supposed to be that much better.
No, I'm just talking about from... Not from last year. I'm talking about from, you know, his best years.
He looked like a pedestrian corner.
Well, I mean...
Maybe the Patriots got lucky on that one.
the guy coming in certainly isn't a pedestrian corner, Champ Bailey. So,
right.
Who do you think they might put him on Watson a little bit? Or
I don't think Watson deserves that attention yet.
I know, but who? I mean, what's he going to do?
Chad Jackson, me personally, because I've already seen that he looks like, whether he can do it or not, he can get off the line, and he clearly has the hands and the speed. Of course, he dropped one where he could have had a big play. But to me, if I'm an opposing defensive corner, I don't fear Rishay Caldwell. I think my cornerback can cover that wide receiver because I think they're just a dime a dozen. I don't fear Troy Brown, no fault of his own. So me personally, I would have him around Chad Jackson a lot because I think he's a guy who hasn't done it but has the talent to do it.
No, it's an interesting philosophy.
I wouldn't do it to Watson. Cause
I'm not so sure that I bothered locking him up. I don't know if they do that every time they lock him up on the other teams.
Right.
I think that would be kind of a waste of him because no matter who you deem the number one receiver, I think the Patriots can gladly say, okay, we'll just stay away from him this
right.
week. Not that you could just completely eliminate a side of the field, but you know what I'm saying. You're not going to get beat going toward Champ Bailey. And I would rather see, you know, if I'm a Denver fan, I'd rather see, you know, some different kinds of coverages and some mixing and matching, some zones to get him in areas where maybe the ball's not necessarily thrown at the guy he's covering, but he can still make a play on it.
And you know what's going to be interesting this week is I noted earlier that I was disappointed the Jets didn't blitz more, and Buffalo doesn't really blitz a lot by design. They did against the Dolphins this week, I noticed, but against the Patriots, it was more their defensive line that got in there. The Broncos will send the heat, so this is going to be a big test for the receivers, cutting off their routes and all that kind of thing, and it'll be interesting to see if the ball ends up in Champ Bailey's hands again.
I think it's interesting that you bring that up, and I don't know how you guys feel about it, but because I think the Patriots have been really, really good in the past at eliminating those, you know, runaway rushers, as Bill calls them, those on blitzes. You'd never see guys come clean often. And all of a sudden, the first two games, we've seen huge plays on each
right.
game. And I'm wondering how much of it has to do with the receivers, if anything. Maybe, you know, Tom just doesn't know, you know, the guy's not recognizing it quickly enough, and he's not able to get the ball out as quickly as he normally does. Because we've seen him get blitzed before and not get hit like that the way he has the last two games.
I got to tell you, I never played wide receiver in my life, so I couldn't do anything.
With my 5'1 speed, I didn't play a lot of wide receiver.
I got to think that's very difficult to do. When you're lined up 25 yards to the right of the center, and you got to figure out there's a backside corner or safety coming on a blitz, and you're supposed to break your route off. How the hell do you do that?
Well, and that's one of the things. Did you see the Ask PFW we got that 15-year-olds are playing chess and winning championships, so why can't Chad Jackson catch 90 balls? That was one of my defenses, is that
as a receiver. That might be the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
As a receiver, you have to learn all different kinds of stuff. You have to know when to break your route off.
Your first thing is you need to know the original
Hauser
play.
Was a doctor at like age 10. Could he play wide receiver?
Then you have to figure out, okay, it is a blitz, so what's my adjustment on this specific play to a blitz? I just think that's amazing.
And you bring up a good point, and I think that's why saying, well, Chad Jackson's been in, like, the film rooms and stuff, it's just not the same.
Like
he's got to go out there and
I could probably do it if I'm looking at it from a big eye in the sky.
Right.
It's when I'm lined up wide right I got to be able to do it.
And Brady has to trust that he's going to do it right.
Right.
But that's what I was kind of getting at.
Yeah.
Maybe Tom's not quite ready. And you know what? Maybe Tom's not ready to throw the ball before these guys are quote-unquote open.
Right.
I wouldn't.
You know,
Troy Brown's covered, he's getting
right.
hit.
And he's holding the ball. Maybe it's a fraction of a second. Maybe, you know.
Yep. I think that's a legitimate argument.
And, you know, it's probably no way of really knowing because you're not going to get Tom to admit that.
And one little aside, I was one catch from Chad Jackson. If he had caught that big play, full bore back on the bandwagon.
Well,
right now I got a half a foot on. It's slowly starting to pull out of the station. I got a half a foot on, and I'm trying to decide whether I want to jump on or off.
We noticed during the game that he was abusing the corners that were trying to cover.
That's why I liked
him. We certainly liked him, and as positive as we were on him, we were kind of negative on Gabriel because it didn't seem like Gabriel, with the exception of that one bomb that Brady underthrew for the interception,
right.
I don't think Gabriel was open 1 second.
Did you think he could do much about that? Because I didn't.
I didn't think there was much he could do. That ball was drastically underthrown.
Because I read somebody wrote in a story, little effort on Gabriel's part to break the ball up or something, and I didn't think there was that much he could do. I thought it was one of those plays where it was underthrown. There's two guys there. I just thought he had little, if any, chance of doing anything.
As a total aside for Ryan, is Hanscom Air Force Base, the Hanscom Field, rather, in Bedford, is that the closest airport to the stadium? I think it would be. There was that little one in Norwood.
Well, there's
but
a couple little ones around.
I don't think you'd be able to get into Norwood. He's coming from Nova Scotia. New Brunswick. And
is he flying himself?
Well, he's got a friend who's going to fly him in a small plane for the game. I think Hanscom is probably your best bet. It's probably less than a half hour from there.
There's a little one down 495. I don't know where it is, but it's a little one. It's right on 495. Looks like it'd be easy to get to. That's pretty close, 20 minutes or less.
Yeah,
it's where they keep the hood blimp at night.
Yeah, I'm just not sure.
Yeah, a little note banked.
I'm not sure a lot of those, because there is a small airport in Norwood. Norwood, Mass., which is, that's 10 minutes from the stadium, right off of 95, but I'm not sure that you could get that plane into this. So Norwood, Mass., if you're looking, any plane. I don't know.
The Cessna?
I don't know,
Is it an airport?
I don't know why you're asking.
A Cessna? Is it a twin-engine Cessna? Let's have a little airplane
talk. I'm talking
talk.
About Cessnas.
Why?
Because my aunt went down in one. Anyway.
She's not the only one. I would never go set one foot in one of those things.
No, I know.
Every
anyway,
day.
James is next up in Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina. We love James.
James!
He's checking in. Another week of not looking like the Tom Brady that we all know. I am beginning to wonder if there might be something wrong with him. I know he is not always on target with his throws, but he has been abnormally off on many of them. Usually if he misses an open receiver down the field, it's an overthrown ball. But through two games, he has been way off on his downfield passes, with many being underthrows. It just looked like he does not have the strength to put it on target deep like he has in the past. I don't know whether it is just his timing with the receivers or whether it might be something physical, but to have a 61.4% career passer only completing 50% of his throws through two games is a cause for concern about what is going on, no matter what their record might be. Fortunately, the Patriots have had a very good running attack and an improved defense and have not needing him to be very Brady-like in these two games. I just hope he is more like his old self Sunday night against the Broncos. What say you guys?
Well, I think he's going to end up having a big game against the Broncos. I think he's been waiting for this game. I mean, it's hard for me to say why, because the Denver secondary totally outclasses the New England receivers right now. But I just feel somehow, some way, he's going to break out and have one of his better games this Sunday night.
What do you guys think about Darren Williams,
second-year
corner?
I like him.
I don't know much about him.
What? Got to like the honesty.
I don't know much about him. What do you want me to say? Make something up? Well, I think he really comes out of his break nicely. He's got good hit movement.
Well, I'm not asking you to break down his technique.
I think he was
injured. I couldn't break down the technique of the Patriots cornerbacks.
But he's made some plays for them. I know they love him.
I know they like him a lot, yeah.
And they have a couple other young corners they like, too. They drafted all those guys a couple years ago after they got blitzed by the Colts.
I thought he really struggled against the Patriots last year, and I'm wondering how good he is. I know they're very high on him, and I know he was a rookie, and he had a pretty good year. They actually had a bunch of rookie defensive backs last year that contributed. I know Foxworth, I think, was one of them.
Parham.
And Williams. So, obviously with Champ Bailey, he covers a lot of ills that could be, going elsewhere. I would expect to see John Lynch doing a lot of blitzing again.
Mm-hmm.
Although with the Patriots running attack this time, that wasn't there last year. Remember Lynch's comments to Tom after that game, the playoff game. Andy, I'm sure you don't because you were at a wedding.
It's true. Game never happened in my mind.
He said that we just didn't respect their ability to run the ball, so they literally blitzed that game. Every play, they blitzed. I don't know if you can do that when you get Maroney and Dylan both averaging over four a carry.
Especially Maroney.
And as Fred is quick to point out, both on pace for 1,000 yards.
I got to tell you, if Dylan's in the game, I'm still blitzing. Because I feel like even if he catches me in it, I can catch him.
It's a 10-yard game.
If Lawrence Maroney catches me in a blitz, there's a chance he's dancing in the end zone.
All right, David is next up.
Oh, wait, one quick thing.
Okay.
Didn't Fred always tell us that due to the latency of the internet, people heard our show like 5 minutes after we say it? I just heard myself on the phone like 10 seconds after I said it.
Okay.
So there's no such thing as the latency of the internet. It's like regular radio. 10 seconds later, people are hearing us.
So that's good. So now you can stop using the word latency.
I got to find a new way to use it. It's the only way I've ever used it.
I'm not even mad.
Latency. Due to the latency of Gabriel's break, Tom Brady couldn't throw him the ball.
D- David is next up. He says, after seeing Chad Jackson in game form against the Jets, what would you expect from him the rest of the year, assuming he's healthy?
65 catches, 1,200 yards.
Too much.
No,
I'm just kidding.
No, that's Andy. But I'm back on board with, like, he can be a contributor 45-catch kind of guy.
I agree. 45 catches, maybe 6 to 8 touchdowns on big plays. Wow. You know, a big play down.
Wow, Bill really bitch-slapped him in his little thing about how wide open he was. Like, somebody asked him about the touchdown. I mean, come on, it wasn't the greatest catch ever. He was wide open. Looks like they blew the coverage. He was just wide open. It was just a catch. He was wide open. He said wide open like 3 times, and I was like, hey, it was his first career catch touchdown.
I would say that the first catch he made was far more impressive than the second catch.
You don't
catch.
Have to downgrade it.
Right. Well, that's what he does.
I mean, we've hit Daniel Graham in the end zone a number of times wide open. He drops it.
Just needs to come in and be a contributor this year, needs to step up next year and be the man.
Right. And like I said, not drop the ball when it hits him in the hands in the middle of the field for a touchdown.
Ideally for the Patriots, he is ready to be the man at the end of the year.
Right. He's turning
that way,
into that role.
When you get into those games in December and into January, he can be a guy that you can rely on. You know you're going to get 5 or 6 catches from and maybe a big play or two.
And
that would be the ideal circumstance.
But I agree.
To ask more than ask him to catch more than 50 balls this year, no. I think, might be a little optimistic. No. But we have all been universally in agreement on this from the first time we saw him. And for you two guys, for the first time you guys saw him at the Combine, we're very, very intrigued by his talent. He catches the ball well with his hands, strong hands, ability to go over the middle, good size, good strength. I mean, all of the tangible kind of qualities are positive with him.
And I got to tell you, he was on the field a lot for a guy who may or may not be learning the offense as well as he should be. Yep, seemed like he was in the regular rotation. He was out there.
Yeah, but he did run a lot of simple kind of routes.
I was
like going to
say,
fly routes.
They ran him down the field.
But you're in on the goal line. Yeah, well, not goal line, but in the red zone. Doug Gabriel isn't.
He wasn't on the field in that play?
I thought they had four wide.
The play before that, though, was the one play Gabriel was open. Remember when Brady didn't look his way?
Right.
There was one play Gabriel did get open.
I thought Gabriel was open on the interception.
I'm just saying, I think positive signs from what you saw on the field with Jackson and as much as he was in the rotation. And then the only other question is the hamstring. Is it gone for good now, or is there a chance it...
Yeah.
And it seems like they were probably a little overcautious with it, and obviously with the hope that he's fully healed.
No, a question I got...
What?
Where's these tight ends? I've been here now for over a year, and all I hear about are the Patriot tight ends. When am I going to see this? Is it going to be the preseason game against Washington? Is the only time I'm ever going
to
see these guys play? Because I'm just asking, where are they? We just hear how
great
they
are. It's worth talking about. I mean, they had on Sunday 29 catch to David Thomas, 29 yard catch to Daniel Graham, and then.
I think
a 15-yarder to Watson.
Yep.
They ended up with, I want to say, 5 catches in the first half for close to 100 yards combined, the 3 of them. And then in the second half, I think Watson caught a ball for 2 yards.
And where's this tight end screen that we saw practiced about 8,000 times in training camp?
I'm not even looking for that. I'm just looking for the tight end to take an outside release, go down the seam, look back. When he's behind the linebackers in front of the safety, throw him the ball. Run that play more often.
Every time they throw it, run it at least
make it a part of your arsenal. And maybe if he's doing that successfully, even if you can't throw him the ball, maybe that does really take some pressure off the outside. If the safety has to stay home, maybe you get some more good matchups with a guy like Jackson on the outside. But for this breakout season that Ben Watson's supposed to be having, he's now tied with the 85-year-old man who's a wide receiver.
Alex is next up. He says it was a tale of two halves on Sunday. Obviously, as a fan, I only focused, on the Patriots' performance, but what adjustments did the Jets make to improve their play, and why did the Patriots fail to react to those adjustments?
Well, two big adjustments was just two guys making great plays and Patriot defenders missing tackles and not finishing plays. I mean, that's 14 points right there.
I sort of agree with Andy. I don't necessarily think it was huge in the way of adjustments as it was.
Now, defensively, they did come after Brady, and they caused that big play off
the
edge.
Yeah.
But in terms of the Jets' offense, I didn't think they changed that much.
I didn't think the Jets' offense was as ineffective as the numbers may have made it seem in the first half. Now, they didn't score any points. They didn't rack up huge numbers, but I thought they had some third down conversions.
That they missed chances.
And then they had others that, the one really bad one was when they had the back. It was like a third and two.
Askew was wide
open. Askew wide open. He threw it over his head. Would have been a nice little five-yard gain for a first down. And there was no one there. I mean, he was wide open, pitch and catch. I think that the Jets' offense moved the ball just not well enough to put points on the board.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, they didn't have great yardage or anything like that, But I don't think it was as bad. It wasn't like the Pittsburgh game last night where they never had a sniff of getting the ball.
It's just so hard when you can't run the ball at all. I was just saying, they couldn't get a yard on the ground. Every time they handed the ball off, the next play was second and long. It was just a waste of time.
Did I win my fantasy matchup?
No.
Because I saw Hines Ward went,
points.
Oh. Because he went a long time without a catch.
He caught one.
And I was like, I could win this.
Oh, if he had one catch, he lost?
Yeah.
It was close. You kidding? I lost by 3 points.
Yeah, me too.
Over the course of 2 weeks, I've lost by a total of like 4.2 points, and I'm 0-2.
Tough break. Anyway, Jeff from Hawaii is next up. He says, is it just me, or does Chad Jackson showing up on Sunday after Branch is traded seem fishy?
No, it's just you.
Yeah, I have to say that. I don't understand what could possibly be.
Oh, there were people who believed that they were holding him back and hiding him. And
why?
I don't know. I can't answer that, Paul.
Yeah, because Bill doesn't like to get his best players on the field to win football
games.
First
of all, even let's just say that he is holding him back for whatever reason. What would that reason have to do with Branch? Where's the correlation?
I don't know. There is none.
Although I will say on Sunday, Andy and I noticed that Bill seemed to be just doing whatever. He had Vrabel playing safety at one point.
He's having a good time. Except when he had to shake Eric Mangini's hand as the Boston Herald so such a good job of catching here. Well, look at that face from Belichick.
And I should mention, a New York sports writer asked an excellent question to Mangini about, because, he asked him what happened. He said, we just said good game. And he said, but Eric, it's not normal human behavior to spend 10 years of your life with somebody and then just cut off all emotion like that. And I thought that was a good question.
And really 10 years of life. I mean, you've spent 20 hours a day for the past 10 years with this guy, and now you have a quick handshake?
It's just, it's weird.
Let me get this straight. Bill Belichick hates the Jets coach.
Well, certainly didn't seem like there was any love lost. Let's put it that way. Anyway, Jeff's email finishes up. I don't remember when and why the Pats switched Seymour to the right side. It had to be late last year, but I remember him always lining up on the left before his injury. Any idea why this was done and what advantage does that give the Pats defensive line? Andy?
He's always been the right side.
So far,
the advantages are, if you believe in their 3-4 scheme, you come at the blind side of most right-handed quarterbacks. They always liked the combination of Tully Banta-Kane and Richard Seymour, kind of a power rusher, and then your sack guy in Colvin coming off that edge. A lot of teams obviously put their best rusher on the blind side of the quarterback, the speed guys, and that was their sort of pass rushing
combo. Seymour has played on that side ever since his rookie year. I mean, his rookie year he had times where he played nose tackle.
Right.
But ever since he moved to one of the ends, he's played on the right side of the defense, coming off the blind side for the offense.
Yeah, I don't have anything else.
So that's 0-2, Jeff. Let's see what the next one is here.
It's in Hawaii. I have no problem with him not following the Patriots. Follow the beach, the water, the girls, whatever.
No question. One other quick note. If Nick Saban is a Belichick-type coach and presumably would favor a smart, ball-control, pocket QB like Brady, then why on earth would he sign an erratic mobile quarterback like Culpepper, who had just come off a crappy season and a big injury? Why would he not go for Breeze instead with the injury recovery scenario was the same? Didn't this Miami 0-2 start seem so predictable, especially when every national media moron had Miami in the Super Bowl? Yeah.
No, because you didn't think that they were going to lose to Buffalo last week like the rest of us. So
but I think the quarterback question is a good one. If he's supposed to be a Belichick disciple, I think Bill Belichick would rather have Drew Brees as a guy who can make the smart play. And
I think he would rather have Drew Brees, but I don't think it has anything to do with his style. I think he feels like Drew Brees is better.
Oh, I think it's style related. I think they like the guy that feel like they can manage the game. I don't think they like risk takers, guys who can make a big play and then give up the big play just as easily.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't think it has anything to do with mobility as opposed to
any
pocket passer.
He's just been
bad. No, I didn't say anything about mobility. I don't think it's just talent.
That's
I think it's a guy who doesn't make mistakes, doesn't take chances, a game management type, and that's Drew Brees.
That's part of ability.
See, I don't think it necessarily has to do with run, not run. It's decision making. It's don't do the stupid thing. We'll punt rather than throw the pick.
I agree with you, but the email is a pocket passer as opposed to a mobile guy.
Well, I don't think it's that. I think if Dante Culpepper could run and didn't make a lot of dumb mistakes, just, you know, every once in a while scrambled, used his feet, then, yeah, they would prefer that type.
If he had a choice between Donovan McNabb and Drew Brees, it might not be Drew Brees.
Right.
Donovan McNabb doesn't make a lot of mistakes.
Indeed.
You know, and he's obviously a very mobile quarterback. But Culpepper does. And I'm quite certain that if Bill had the choice between Brees and Culpepper, while never talking to Bill directly about it, my money would be that he would take Brees.
And Culpepper in Miami just made a huge mistake by playing him at the beginning of the season.
I agree.
He's a guy whose part of his game is moving around in the pocket. He's not Dan Marino, and they took that away and expected him to be effective, and he just cannot move, and it has disaster written all over it. And my guess is you'll see Joey Harrington sooner than later.
All right. We're at the top of the hour here, so I'm going to step aside.
Where are you going,
Tom? I got to go be a big shot. Let Andy and Tom take you through the rest of the show. The emails are coming in. Keep them coming. Webradio@patriots.com. Again, that's webradio@patriots.com, and we'll be back after this.
Rock and roll's most loved and enduring band, traveling the world on their biggest tour ever. And now they return to North America for an encore performance. Radio Shack presents Rolling Stones. Here at your local Ford store, comprehensive coverage on every vehicle we sell. That's right, Ford stands behind every 2006 model with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. Every Mustang, every 500, every Freestyle, every Explorer, even every F-Series truck. Every new 2006 Ford vehicle comes with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. That's security. Plus, right now you can get 0% financing on select Fords. 560 coverage, 0% financing. At Ford, we're with you every step of the way. See your local Ford store or call 1-877-4410. Ford, bold moves.
Come on, baby.
The New England Patriots won an amazing 3 Super Bowl championships in 4 years. Relive these defining moments in Patriots history with a limited edition print featuring action photos and images of the 3 championship banners that now hang at Gillette Stadium. And if you think that's good,
it is good.
How about having it signed by perennial Pro Bowler Richard Seymour?
Gonna be shot, Richard Seymour.
This autographed print exclusively from the New England Patriots is perfect for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on the Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Patriots Extra Points card and free 3 championship banner print signed by Richard Seymour. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autograph print limited to the first 300 with qualifying purchase. Visit PatriotsExtraPoints.com for details.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Here's a nice piece of shit. VFW in progress.
Poop again!
He called this
This is the best night of my life.
With Red Kirsch.
Shut up!
Paul Perillo.
Where's my snack pack?
You've got a banana. You don't need no snack pack.
You know I like snack pack. Why can't you just give me a snack pack?
And Andy. And Andy?
Whoa. The part of the story I don't like is that the little boy gave up looking for Happy after an hour. That little boy's got to think. You got a pet. You got a responsibility.
Andy Hart.
If your dog is lost, you don't look for an hour then call it quits. You get your ass out there and you find that dog.
Some guy named Tom.
I am the smartest man alive!
And you never know, Rory might stop by.
Oh, I want to touch the hiney.
PFW in progress.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
Back here, Gillette Stadium, second hour, PFW in progress. Andy Hart, Tom Casale, the A-team. We say good riddance to the old guy who was babbling for the first hour.
Yes, the paint is officially dry.
That's right. This room, all the paint in this room is dry. Paul has left. He's going on to quote-unquote real radio. He's Mr. Big Shot. And Tom and I, Andy Hart, will bring you through the second hour, PFW in progress, Tuesday afternoon. Taking your emails, webradio@patriots.com, webradio@patriots.com. If you want to analyze the Jets game, give us your thoughts, opinions. Obviously, the Patriots held on for a win, but in the midway through the third quarter, looked like they might be on their way to a blowout. Didn't turn out that way. Kind of had to hang on at the end. Got into a little dogfight thanks to some poor tackling and allowing some big plays. But they are 2-0, sitting atop the AFC East, one of 8 2-0 teams in football,
so.
Or some handful of 2-0 teams in football, which means, according to the statistics, they have like a 65% chance of making the playoffs based on recent history. Well, yeah, they're going to make the playoffs, but just going by the numbers. Anything you want to talk about? Monday Night Football?
I'd be interested in knowing what they think about the kick, the block kick by the rookie. People are a little nervous by that. Or
listening to Bill, it sounds like he puts it more on lack of protection than...
See, I thought the kick was low.
See, I kind of did too, but Bill was pretty quick to say we had too much penetration. Any kicker would like to have his kick higher, but there was too much penetration on the
Bill
play.
I think Bill's going to be pretty quick to...
defend?
Yeah, he doesn't want the Adam Vinatieri stuff starting already.
But, you know, there's plenty to talk about coming off that game. And if you want to look ahead a little bit early, obviously we'll break down the Broncos more in the coming days. Kind of turn the page tomorrow, Wednesday here, Media Day, Gillette Stadium. Bill Belichick will tell us what he thinks about the Broncos in this rematch with a team that ended the Patriots' season last January, ended their potential run at three straight Super Bowls, ended history for them.
I can tell you what he's going to say. It's just another game.
It is. It's just another game. They got a quarterback that can make all the throws. Well coached, strong on special teams.
Rod Smith kills him every time.
Rod Smith, when he goes in the Hall of Fame, he'll go in with thanking me and the Patriots, blah, 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 blah.
No, can you talk about the Broncos running backs? Fast, quick.
Score from anywhere on the field.
It is what
cutback ability.
There you go. You don't have to listen to the press conference tomorrow.
Yes, there'll be a lot of coach speak, a lot of praising of Mike Shanahan and his offense and different things in Denver.
The offense that hasn't scored yet.
Right.
Or they scored, like, what are they, one touchdown?
Yeah.
No passing
touchdowns, four interceptions for Plummer. But there's a lot on the plate here, so join us. Give us your thoughts early in the season. We don't want to be Mr. Negative here because there's some things to worry about. It is, after all, a 2-0 football team, and you could not start the season with a better record in your first two games than 2-0. So it's positive talk here at PFW in progress. And we're going to get back to the emails unless you have something you'd like to add, Tom.
I got nothing.
Good, good, great. Always glad to hear that with 49 minutes left in the program. Mike Gherkin. Gherkin pickles are good.
They're really good.
Big fan of Gherkin pickles. Have you guys seen a different attitude out of Brady the last few weeks? I remember him being one of the most fiery guys on the team, and he almost seems uninterested at times. One example would be when Jackson caught his first touchdown of his career. Usually Tom would be in his face or tackling him or something. Is it just me, or has Brady lost some of that emotional fire that he usually has, and could that lack of passion be contributing to his less-than-spectacular play?
That's not a totally dumb question, I don't think. I've kind of noticed.
Just kind of dumb?
No, I've kind of noticed that a little bit, too. And, you know, I've just, over the years, listening to people who have won a lot and everything like that, and I'm not, you know, all know I think Brady's the best player in the NFL, but when you win three Super Bowls at a young age, you're dating a supermodel, you have all this stuff. Sometimes you do kind of lose focus in the off season, I think, like when he's doing all these appearances and everything. And I had made that comment at camp, but no one really thought that it was a problem. But I think, yeah, you know, when you become a megastar, which Brady is, I mean, Brady and Manning, those guys are different than just your normal NFL stars. I think you can lose a little bit of focus here and there, and I don't know if he's lost his focus, but I have noticed him acting a little bit differently on the sidelines and on the field a little bit. Have you noticed it?
Not as much maybe as you guys obviously have, and the thing I would say is I don't think he's lost the fire. I think we saw that in the offseason when he started talking about the Broncos and watching his press conference. And, you know, I think he's driven. I think that's part of why he's so great. I think he continues to be driven. I would say in terms of the interaction, maybe, again, that's just a result of the fact that he doesn't know the guys he's playing with.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't have a relationship. And in terms of the Jackson touchdown, I didn't notice the lack of a celebration either way. You know, I didn't really notice it at the game.
Ben Watson went and grabbed the football and gave it to him. And
I would just say if there's anything there, the only thing I would assume, maybe Brady as a team leader, you know, you were there at the gala, and if Chad Jackson is ruffling any feathers,
right,
maybe he's kind of holding off trying to get the rookie to do and say and act like they want him to, and he's not quite ready to say, this is my teammate, this is the guy I'm going to go crazy celebrating with after a score. Maybe he's trying to be a leader and get Chad Jackson into the role they want him as a Patriot.
And I don't think he's lost any fire. I'm just saying when you start doing all these different things and it starts taking up some of your time, maybe it's taking him longer to get involved in the season than it has in the past. It just, I mean, he's all over the place. I mean, he's in China, he's in India, this offseason, every time I opened the paper, he was in a different country.
He's so big, I want to read you a quote that I saw in the Boston Herald from, Monday's edition? Jenna, ready to rumble with nice guy Brady is the headline. Large photo of porn star Jenna Jameson. And this is the inside track from the Boston Herald. Here's another name to add to the massive list of Tom Brady fan club members. Porn star Jenna Jameson.
That's a good
one. I like your boobs.
Yes!
Jameson, who'll be hosting this year's Super Bowl 41 Lingerie Bowl, confessed she's hot for number 12.
Hey, Lisa. You look pretty hot today.
I've been a big fan of athletes all my life, the star of Lip Service and On Her Back told the press the other day.
Two very good movies.
I'm a big fan of Tom Brady. I've met him, and he's a nice guy. When asked if Brady was a fan of her work as well, Jenna smiled and said, I'm sure he is. Well, apparently Jameson read that interview where Tom admitted surfing the net for porn. So, you know, when people are asking porn stars about you and whether they think you're hot and all that kind of stuff, you're kind of a big deal.
He lives a pretty good life.
He's got a lot going on outside of football, but I think he's done a good job not to allow that to infringe upon his work. And I actually think just seeing him the last couple of weeks, I think it's really bothering him that this passing game is struggling and really going. Especially the first week where he wouldn't even admit that they played a little bit better in the second half and were able to put some points. He's worried, I think, a little bit internally. He misses Deion Branch. Mm-hmm. He misses David Givens. He misses the security of knowing the guys around him, what they can do, where he can throw it, how they can get it, and all that. And I don't think he'll be happy until they click a little.
And we don't know his personal feelings. I hate when fans will read a Brady press conference quote and say, see, he's not.
Right.
Listen, what do you think he's going to do? Come out and say this organization made a terrible move? He's not going to say that. So this could be lingering effects of, you know, I think maybe they made a mistake kind of thing, and he just needs to get over it and move on, and I'm sure that's what he's doing. But it's hard to tell what he feels personally.
Right. And, you know, we were talking about it earlier with Bill Belichick and Eric Mangini and the not normal to just the guy's dead, he's gone. I think Brady's in that phase right now, and he's acting the normal way. Deion Branch isn't there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
He worked with the guy for 4 years. They had a lot of success together. hung out on and off the field, you know, made plays.
Right.
That's just simply not going to develop overnight with Rishay Caldwell, Doug Gabriel, Chad Jackson, any of those guys.
Right.
And he needs to develop that. And I don't think he'll feel – it's not going to be one game. It's not Chad Jackson catches six passes for 130 yards. Oh, all of a sudden we're there. It's week in, week out. I got to tell you, if he makes plays like he made on his first career catch, coming back over a defensive back to get a ball, it'll happen quicker than if he's, you know, doing other things. So I think that was a great catch. And that's the kind of thing a quarterback goes – wow, if he can make that catch, it's going to make my life
and
a lot easier.
If he continues making those catches, he's going to let you know about it, too.
Right. And I don't think Brady has a problem with that. I think he'll let him dance all year. Because Zion Branch danced more than anybody on this team with his hip gyrations and all the things he did that were, you know, if it had happened in the 50s with Elvis, they would have banned him from television.
I think Chad Jackson could be a lot like Chad Johnson, both on the field and off it.
And you know what? I don't think Tom Brady will have a problem with it. Bill Belichick might have a problem with it at some point, but Tom Brady won't have a problem with it because he just wants guys that can make plays, be good teammates, work hard, and I don't think you can question Chad Johnson for any of that. So if Chad Jackson turns into that, I think Tom Brady will be very happy and will build a relationship relatively quickly. Luis Nova. Hello, guys. Right or wrong, John Madden will run out of nice things to say about Brett Favre.
Brett Favre.
Oh, wrong.
Wrong.
He'll just keep repeating.
And I'm not just going to limit it to John Madden. Everybody keeps talking about, you know, all the great things he did, and nobody will say, get off the field,
man,
you're an embarrassment to your legacy.
I'm sick and tired of hearing people say that, you know, oh, this is so hard to see and how bad they feel for him. He could have retired.
Right.
Listen, you're telling me he didn't know this team was going to stink? Give me a break. I think Fred's right. I think he's lost his mind.
Maybe he has. Although, I usually don't listen to Fred's. Weird,
yeah, every now and again, though, if you listen to 100 of them, one of them kind of makes somewhat.
It's kind of like his picks. If he picks for 100 straight weeks, once in a while he has a winning week. This was the week. He just happened to go 15-1. But he still only has a one-game lead on me. That's nice to know. Alejandro Mina from Bogota. Bogota. Is it Bogota? Bogota?
I don't know.
Colombia, Bogota. You know what they got there? They Bogota a lot of cocaine.
Team.
Hey. They have a football team, the New England Patriots. We're worldwide, baby. I don't know if you know, but there's rumors that we might go to China next year. Rumors?
Yeah. There's rumors I may not go, too.
Hello, Andy, Fred, Paul, and Tom. Well, you don't get Paul, which is good for you because you don't have to listen to him, and you don't get Fred, which I don't know. He's pretty entertaining.
Yeah,
so sometimes
Fred
you can miss him.
Fred is pretty entertaining. I do miss him.
I am officially on the Tom H-Bomb Casale bandwagon. I like his contribution.
He wants me to die.
He's going to tie you to the H-bomb and drop it on somebody. I like his contribution to the team and his strong opinion, even though I ended up picking Tampa Bay last Sunday.
Oh, sorry about that, my man.
Tom's sticking with them, though.
Yeah,
he continues to pick them.
I appreciate that you're on my bandwagon, but I'm about to jump off that Tampa Bay bandwagon.
Just a quick question. I want to know your opinion on the performance of the offensive line, both in run blocking and pass protection.
I thought they improved, you know, quite a bit against the Jets, although the Jets,
right,
like you said, Robertson wasn't on the field at some point. They didn't seem to have a lot of pressure up front. I don't know whether it was the line or just because they stink. I was expecting a little bit more out of the Jets front, but obviously run blocking has been phenomenal.
I mean, Corey Dillon's getting yards. That's all you need to know.
Yeah. I mean, and Maroney doesn't need you to block for him, so it doesn't matter.
But no, I think they are what they are. They're not by any means a dominant line right now, but I think you're seeing glimpses. I'll say this. I haven't said one thing about Ryan O'Callaghan at right tackle, and to me that's a good thing.
Yeah.
You got a rookie right tackle out there. All the pressure has been coming basically off the left side with Matt Light. I think we know what we have in Matt Light. He's going to need help on some speed rushers, some guys he's going to struggle with, but he's a decent, you know, decent NFL offensive lineman. So I think we are on course with what we said in the preseason. There's some talent here. There's some experience, some youthfulness, and with Skarnecki, you know, working with them, I think it has a chance to be one of the better offensive line this team had in a long time.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, Craig from South Carolina checking in, because we talked to him earlier. Now he's going to check in with his keypad, although apparently he has access to his computer.
He really is bored, huh?
Well, he's home from work. You know how, I mean, you can know how that can be. Spend a couple days at home on the couch in a row, looking for things.
I never get tired of that.
Pat's have six tough games left on the schedule against who we presently call good teams. Broncos, Bengals, Vikings, Colts, Bears, Jags. We have many new players on offense.
I would throw at Miami and at Buffalo, and there is two road games against divisional opponents that you never know. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like, Buffalo played them good, and you know their history in Miami. That's never a gimme.
We have many new players on offense, and it will take time for them to gel. Brady will not need to lead the league in passing this year for us to be successful. Our D is strong, and our offense is only going to get better. If we only win half the toughest games on the schedule and get blindsided by one of the weaker teams on the schedule, we will finish 12-4. No team on the schedule is dramatically better than the Patriots. So by his math, you know, he says there's six good teams left. If you beat half of them, you go 3-3 in those. That's three losses, and you lose one of the games you should win. That's four losses. If you do the same thing with your math, you say there's eight good teams to go. That's four losses if you go 4-4, and then if you lose one other, maybe five losses.
Yeah, well, I predicted them to go 12-4, so I'm not going to be shocked. I'm just saying, let's hope. I mean, it's still early, you know, and you never know what's going to happen with the schedule. It looks easy, but you know, what if the Vikings all of a sudden now are a real legitimate contender?
I'm not sold on them yet.
Well, I don't care what you think. I'm just telling you, what if they are? I wasn't sold on the Bears, and you can't get a yard against them.
Oh, I'm sold on the Bears.
Yeah, they got me in their corner now.
Sold on the Bears.
I will guarantee you this, though. They'll beat the Packers. So you can mark, they're 3-0.
Oh.
They're 3-0. You can put that in the books. So now they only got 9 more games to go. It doesn't matter. They're making the playoffs. They're winning the division, so who cares?
I think no matter how you look at it, they're going to win 11 games,
11,
somewhere
12
in
games,
there,
right around there,
and that'll be enough to win the division, get in the playoffs, and then, as always, then, with Bill and Tom,
and well,
you
then,
never
I'm
know.
Sure Jacksonville will come in and cry that they don't get any respect, and then get lambasted. Did you watch a game last night?
No.
I am so sick and tired of hearing Jacksonville say, no one gives us respect. Well, you did come in here last year with a chance to show that you deserve some respect, and you got thoroughly whipped.
I'll
so
be honest,
shut up.
I don't give them respect, and I won't. They need to really prove it to me now, because I've been on board Jacksonville for like 2.5 years, and then when I saw what they did here last year, I just jumped ship totally.
And people are impressed with their first two wins. Well, week one, Drew Bledsoe was handing the ball off to linebackers.
Right.
And in week two, they were playing a quarterback who was coming back from a surgery who had a 104-degree fever.
Yeah,
I don't really care. They don't concern me at all.
Should he have played last night?
No.
Okay. Is this him again? Craig again. Back-to-back emails here. We're rolling through. By the way, webradiopatriots.com. webradio@patriots.com. If you can sneak one in between all of Craig's emails, we'll be happy to read it on the air and discuss your
opinions. Don't be jealous that I've been chatting online with babes all day.
That's what he should be doing right now, going to chat rooms. No screens last week, no quick slants, no reverses, one wide receiver screen to the left. In short, our play calling has been vanilla. Do you guys attribute this to the lack of chemistry between Brady and the receivers? The tight ends have not been utilized to their fullest extent. I love to see them using Falk on some longer plays, pass plays, but don't you think it would keep the defense guessing if Maroney was in the backfield with him? Basically, if Falk is in the game, we are passing. Opposing DBs know this. Or you're running the draw that they've run 8
yeah.
million times in a row. Maybe the offense has been a little bit vanilla, but again, I go back to what I said last year when people said the defense was vanilla. Has the offense proven that it can do vanilla? You know, especially in terms of the passing game, you need to know that the receivers can run the routes that are your basic routes before you start going crazy and doing a lot of wide variety of things. And I think that might be the situation you're in. You have a quote-unquote first-year coordinator in Josh McDaniels, despite the fact that he called plays last year, and a lot of new players. So there's going to be a feeling out period, a growing period here in the beginning of the year.
But to play devil's advocate, I wasn't all that thrilled with the play calling last year, to be honest with you. So,
well, you got the same guy in place. That's
I'm not all
is that an argument that Josh McDaniels not quite ready?
Yeah, that's my argument. I'm not thrilled with the play calling. You got great tight ends that can stretch the field. You don't use them. I understand the receiver situation, but how many catches does Kevin Falk have? Two? I mean, why isn't this guy coming out of the backfield like he normally does?
You're just mad because you predicted 65 catches for him.
Well,
and
I'm
well behind pace.
I'm saying we're saying Brady has no one to throw the ball to. Hello, he's got Kevin Falk, who always is wide open, no matter for some reason.
Strangely so.
Yeah, he's always wide open. I wasn't impressed with the play calling last year on offense, and I'm not this up until this point this year. Although I am impressed with Dean Pease and what he's done with the defense.
But is that right there a suggestion for You know, Dean Pease is a very experienced coach, a former head coach in college, worked with Saban, a guy who not necessarily just the we promote from within and we have this young offensive coordinator. Is that an argument for should they have gone out and interviewed actual offensive coordinators?
Yes.
Okay.
That's my argument.
So Tom Casale has started the website firejoshmcdaniels.com. You can go there now and put your name on the petition, and we'll send them all to Bill Belichick, and he won't care, and he'll fire tomcasale.com.
I'm starting the website useyourweaponsmorejoshmcdaniels.com.
Okay. That's a lot. That's a long one. Jody Satoris. We're Denver game. We're coming for the Denver game. We purchased our tickets from Ticketmaster, and the tickets will be at the gate. If we take the T train to the game, how long do you think it will take us to pick up our tickets? Because we want to go to the Patriots Pro Shop. So can we purchase a great hoodie like the fashionable Bill always wears? I don't know. Hey, good doctor, you got any advice here? How long do you think it will take us to pick up our tickets? It's quick, right? It's just go to Will Call.
Yeah,
whatever.
It should be pretty quick.
And the Pro Shop is right next to the ticket office, so... should be able to walk
and
right over
there. I think they have the sweatshirts.
Yeah, so you need an extra half hour before the game to get your tickets and go into the Pro Shop and get your sweatshirt, I guess. Now, I don't know how long it takes to get here by T and how all that stuff works. Coming from Nova Scotia by T?
I think the train gets you in at about 7:15 is what I heard in a meeting this morning.
So an hour before game time you're here. You walk over, 15-minute walk over, plenty of time, half hour to get your tickets and your hoodie. You're in the stadium up to your seats for kickoff. Tremendous.
I say it doesn't work out that way.
If anything goes wrong, that's Tom Casale at Patriots.com. Tom Casale at Patriots.com. No, we're webradiopatriots.com here, webradiopatriots.com. See, we can even give you your travel arrangements if you need help with that, especially with the good doctor around. He might not be able to run the board in there, but he can give you some travel tips.
I can get you here on time.
Brian in Miami checking in. Brian with a Y, as it used to be spelled by the guy who used to work here who... some of us liked and some of us didn't.
And who hasn't paid me my $100 yet.
He hasn't paid you yet.
No, I got to get on him about that.
You might want to look into that. Station might be going out of business any time. You'll go to knock on the door and it'll...
Well, actually, yeah, he'll probably be back.
I thought the D-line looked excellent in the 4-3. Not only did they render the Jets' running game ineffective, but their pass rush was also great. I thought Ty Warren looked great, and it is no surprise to me that he is leading the team in tackles. Around the league, is Warren beginning to generate some buzz as being a top defensive end? And if so, do you think the Pats will consider him a top priority to re-sign when his contract expires? Is that too far off, too far of a stretch? He probably will not have more than 6 to 8 sacks this year, but his constant pressure on the QB and his sure tackling is worth something. What are your thoughts on Warren's play this year and through his career?
I think it's been excellent so far this year. It was fine last year when I was here, so I have no complaints about Ty Warren at all. I think he's one of their better players.
Yeah, as we talked about earlier, I think the front three there with Warren, Wilfork, and Seymour is becoming dominant,
yeah.
Becoming great, becoming what people thought it could become. And maybe we're a little premature last year saying, could this be the year? They're starting to show it, and that's all three of them. That's Seymour, yep. That's Wilfork, that's Warren on individual basis, working as a unit. I don't think that really had much to do with the 4-3-3-4. I think they are good enough, so you put them out there and whatever, and they're going to dominate right now because yeah. They're that good. As far as Warren looking down the road contract-wise, I don't know that he'd be a priority. He's certainly not going to be a Richard Seymour, Tom Brady priority around
right.
here. To me, he's another case of Deion Branch. He's in that where he's good, very productive for you, but not franchise-type player like the other two. So you get into it becomes...
In other words, he's gone.
Well, no, it gets to the point, what is he looking for? Is he looking to break the bank and, you know, get huge money and go somewhere and be the guy?
My guess is yes.
Or is he willing to sign what's probably going to be a pretty good deal? I mean, they gave Jarvis freaking Green a good deal. So they'll give him something. They'll give him millions.
And he can use that for leverage, too.
Right.
When he says, well, you're paying Jarvis Green this much to sit on the bench and, you know,
and
I'm living in the opponent's
it's
backfield.
Comfort. You know, he clearly has shown he plays well in their two-gap style, their system. You know, you talked about Reggie Wayne. Reggie Wayne being the number two to Marvin Harrison in that offense. He got paid. He's happy. He doesn't have to learn a new system. The pressure isn't there. Maybe Ty Warren likes being on the opposite end of the line of Richard
yeah.
Seymour. And they're going to give him some money. They're not going to expect him to keep paying for nothing. So down the road, if you can re-sign those three guys, yes, you're certainly going to have a lot of money wrapped up in your D-line. But
That's where I want it wrapped up.
I mean, clearly that's where Bill Belichick wants it wrapped up, too. When was Warren was drafted in 2002, right? Mm-hmm. So 2002, 2003, 2004, 2005, 2006. So he has one more year probably. Probably signed a six-year deal. He'll be a free agent after next season. So he's a guy that you start to think, do they go early? Do they try to, you know, we'll re-sign you a year early, take a little bit of money less because we're giving you security of another 4 or 5 years added to the end. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out because, yeah, I certainly think he's making huge strides and his value league-wide probably goes up every day.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Hopefully covered that answer. Jeremy in New Market, New Hampshire wants to talk about Stephen Gostkowski. I really have to work on that because I still find myself saying Gostkowski.
I say it wrong every time.
Gostkowski. Gostkowski's blocked kick was not entirely his fault. Penetration was pretty impressive, and they fought hard to block it. I, too, would like to see more tight end catches. What happened to Ben Watson? Patriots 24, Denver 13. So let's take...
I still think the kick was a little bit low.
May have been a little low, but you know, as I said, you know, I kind of believe, Bill, that there was penetration there.
I know, but when a kick is blocked, there's always going to be penetration.
Right. Well, like no, there's some where you see... Ball. I've seen some kicks where it looks like it would have hit the guys in the face mask if they didn't put their hands up and didn't move. I didn't think this was that egregiously low. It just probably didn't quite have the height, and it was relatively short, and that's, you know, he didn't need to drive it.
Yeah.
Sometimes you see that on those 45, 50 yarders. He didn't need to drive it. It's basically a chip shot. So, he definitely could have gotten more lift, and, you know, that's something he'll probably learn. This is a short one. All I need to do is get it over the line, and it's through the uprights. It's a nice little chip shot. So, he's a rookie kicker.
I'm going 38-10
Patriots. 38-10
Patriots. Blowout.
I think it's going to be a pretty comfortable win.
Yeah,
I do.
I think they're going to destroy them.
I think you've been right talking about that they want to pay them back. I think they were a little embarrassed the way last year ended with the way they laid an egg out there, as Tom Brady said. So, it looks like they'll be firing.
As bad as the fans are here, I think this will be one of the games where they're actually loud from start to finish because they, too, this is, you know, revenge for them as well because they feel that they were robbed in Denver with the pass interference. And so I think it's going to be loud. God, they got all day and all night to get drunk for this one. So it's going to be loud. It's going to be crazy. And I think the Patriots dominate from start to finish.
And on the other side, I just don't think the Broncos are playing all that well.
Maybe they get better as the year goes on. Who knows? But right now is the best time for this game to happen.
You shut down the run with this front seven that we've been raving about, and then I think Bill Belichick licks his chops with the way Plummer's been playing now.
I don't think they'll get yards like 5, 6, 7 yards a carry. The one thing they got to watch out for is Tatum Bell squeaking through a long one. Yeah,
I got to tell you, I'm not worried right now. I think this front seven is on the verge of becoming dominant. You know, if you get those linebackers either into you land your guys that are going to play all the time, or if you want to stick with a rotation, that's fine. But I think they're on the verge of becoming a dominant front.
I think they might stick with a little bit of rotation.
I think they might too.
You know,
with
Bruschi's not the youngest guy in the world either. He could use some plays off every now and then.
The age, it could benefit them to keep the rotation going, and I think they have the talent. And they probably, I know I've said on here that I haven't seen Tully Vanacane necessarily make a play yet. They probably have a little more faith in him than I do, so they think they have enough bodies to rotate in and out there. We could see that sticking around. I did congratulate him after the game, though, on his sack. You know, he got one.
I'm sure he was dying for that.
He had a big smile on his
face.
He
went home and told his wife, "Hey, Andy Hart congratulated me."
Remember that guy in that little half-inch by half-inch picture who had never seen anything? He said, "I made a play." Hey, Gary's here. We can take phone calls again. We got somebody who knows how to run the board. Little cheap shot there. Anyway, yeah, I can't hear you right now because I have these tremendous new headphones that block out all the extra noise.
Great.
Tremendous. I said they'll last a couple weeks and they'll be destroyed like every other headphone we ever got.
Paul was on the schedule. Where's Paul?
Paul's on the, see this mic flag, WEI 850? That's where he is, babbling on real radio.
You're making
my point. John Stack. Checking in. Subject line, Branch, Brady, Borges. This ought to be good.
Yeah.
Ron Borges reported on the Felger show yesterday that Patriots management, through a player, contacted Branch and said additional, increased contract offers would be made to him if he fired his agent. The big news is that Borges stated that player was Brady. If indeed he seems less full of his If indeed he seems less full of his usual fire, it may be that he is sick of the off-field issues that he has become involved in. Great show, Jay from Hanson.
Interesting. It's tough because you don't know if Borges is just saying this or if it's actually true.
Yeah, you know? Now, Borges has now written this and said it. He wrote it, I guess, the day of the trade. He wrote that the Patriots management had tried to convince Branch to fight. Holy Moses! Gary just uncovered a huge pile of wings that are enough to make me sick. Wow. They look good, though. I'll have some. Gary, can you heat some of those up in the microwave?
I can't get to the microwave.
So now you force me to eat cold wings? Can't eat cold wings. This show just took a turn for the worse, so we were rolling along and all professional-like, and you come in, and you start yelling from the background, pulling out wings. Just ruined our show. Anyway, Loretta in Clinton, New Jersey. Is it required by the NFL rules how far back a kicker kicks from? When it's a shorter distance to kick, would it help if he kicked from further back and got it higher before the defense can block it? Sort of like the shotgun pass position to avoid sacks?
I have no clue.
I don't think it is by rule that you have to stand a certain distance, because it changed a little over like the last couple decades. There was like a 1 yard change where it seemed like everybody, I forget whether they got 1 yard closer or 1 yard further back. It seemed like it changed a little, but I don't think it's by rule, which begs the question, why does everybody do it from the exact same spot?
Yeah. And then, how come there's no straight on kickers anymore either? Well, what's the advantage of the soccer style? Is it just, that's the way everyone's taught now, or?
I think that's the way everyone's taught. I think you can get a more consistent kick. Because straight on, if you don't hit it, it can kind of really... I used to kick straight on in high school, and it wasn't pretty.
Well, I got a feeling that would have ended up the same, no matter which style you were using.
But I'm guessing the 7 yard distance where they kick is probably, they've done research, and if you get any closer, they get blocked all the time. Any further away, you don't gain as much, and you're further away, so it makes it harder to hit the long ones. But why on a short one you wouldn't go, say, 9 yards? 10 yards?
I don't know.
We know that the NFL is a league where people do things just because, rather often.
Yeah.
And I know I've said it a million times, but Bill Belichick used to say teams wouldn't trade on draft day because it's draft day, not trade day. So I'm not going to laugh this off as just a dumb question.
Yeah, it's a pretty good question. I really don't know the answer.
But I'm hoping they've seriously done the research and that they've realized that whatever it is, 7.5 yards is the optimum distance, but... Yeah, but they could practice another way. They can practice any way they want, Gary.
Get back in the booth.
You know, if they chose to say, you know what, he needs a little more lift, we'll go to 9 yards. They could do it, I think. Although, I'll be fair, I'm not asking it in a press conference. We need to ask that at some point, though. Get Bill off to the side and say, dumb question here. And he'll probably say, aren't they all? Steve Moore. Checking in, I still believe, dear Fred, Paul, Andy, and Tom, just Andy and Tom, thanks for reading out my email last week. I have sent many emails previously, but last week was the first time you actually read one out on the air. Really? I wonder why we've
sending them towards the end of the show where we can't get to them. Then.
Oh, maybe. I said in last week's email that I believe we are going to the Super Bowl in Miami, and even after watching the Jets game, I can honestly say I still believe. Tom, do you agree?
Was that from Fred?
No, I'm still reading, but do you agree? Miami bound.
Yeah, I'm waiting to see the Bengals game. I still think they have a good chance. I need to see them up against a high-powered offense. Even if I can live with a loss in Cincinnati, I can live with a 31-27, a 27-24 loss. I'm afraid of the 45 to 17 is what I'm
pounding.
Yeah.
Back to Steve's email. My reasons are various, but I think that this year's team is an improvement over last year's, and last year we came pretty close to hosting the Steelers, which would have meant a definite appearance in Super Bowl 40.
I don't agree with that.
This year I see an improved offensive line and possibly the best group of running backs in the league. When Patrick Pass comes off PUP, we'll have Dillon, Maroney, Falk, Pass, and Evans. And after you get past Falk, final two are irrelevant.
I was just going to say, why don't you just stop at Maroney? Just say, when will people just start saying Maroney? That's all you need. The guy's a machine. He can't be stopped. He either runs by you, he runs over you, he runs through you. The guy can't be stopped. Who cares about the other guys?
I reckon that group together with a top three AFC defense will take us to Miami. I listened to...
He forgot to mention, you know, Brady.
He doesn't even mention the Belichick-Brady argument. He thinks just the defense and the running game. It's a little different spin. I like it. We need some new stuff. I listened to almost all your broadcasts, and I believe you guys at PFW are just too close to the team to see just how good this year's roster can be. Maybe you guys have been spoiled by the last few years. You are looking everywhere for the gold, and it's right under your nose. The rainbow definitely ends at Foxborough this year.
See, that's interesting, because when they asked how many games we thought the Patriots would win, we all said 12. On this show today, you and I just said they're going to the playoffs guaranteed, and it's week 3. And yet, somehow the fans took it as we're negative towards the Patriots and we don't know how good they are. I believe the only questions that we have brought up in the last month is, can they stop the Colts and the Bengals, those type of offenses?
Yeah, we're comparing them to a handful of the best teams in football.
Yeah, I don't understand where this is, we don't think they're good. We already have them winning the division and hosting a playoff game. That's not good? I don't know what else you want.
Sorry for you, Steve, but you got Tom worked up before you even got to your questions. Well, now just, for the questions.
You know what I'm saying? Like, where at what point did we say the Patriots weren't good?
Oh.
We're paid to nitpick every little thing. I noticed that last night when I was watching the Steelers-Jaguars game. I'm like, you know, I think sometimes fans think we're being negative when really we're just going over every little thing of the team because that's what we're paid to do. Meanwhile, I'm watching these two pieces of garbage teams play on ESPN, and the Patriots could beat either one of these teams.
See, that's positive right there. If you could have any other team's group of running backs, would you swap our Dylan Falk, Maroney, Pass, and Evans for anyone else's group? You can't swap individuals, only the whole group.
I'd have to go through my head and think all the groups of running backs. And
I got to tell you, New Orleans group is pretty impressive.
And San Diego. I would take
San Diego's
LT
pretty impressive.
And Turner, probably.
Let me think.
Just because you're talking about Dylan being at the end of his career.
Well, that's what I would say, too. Yeah. There's some other players. For example, I said New Orleans. McAllister looks like he's going to come back and be healthy. Now you have a rookie and a relatively young guy who's proven, a proven talent, who you could have that duo around for a while.
Maybe Atlanta. That's tough. It's right about the same thing.
I don't think I would trade for Atlanta.
No, because you'd have to put Vic in with the running back. So
I think I would stick with this group.
That's probably... probably it right there.
Yeah, there's
maybe San Diego and
San Diego,
New Orleans.
New Orleans. There's not too many. This is a pretty good group, and I think it'll be still a pretty good group when Dylan retires, and it's just Maroney and whoever else.
I think it'll be a better group
because Maroney's pretty good. And second,
he can't get the ball enough for my liking. Every time he doesn't touch it, I feel like we're wasting a play.
But every time they win a game and he's in a limited role, I feel like they're stronger down the road.
Oh yeah,
If they can manage him this way, there's a good chance that he's hitting stride in December.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And he could be dominant on the ground
come
January.
And I like the clock killing Corey Dillon at the end
no
of the
question.
Game. That's where I want him. But I'm just saying in the first half, I want Maroney touching that ball as much as possible.
Second question. Do you believe that Jackson, Gabriel, Smith, and Caldwell will all be on the roster at the start of the 2007 regular season?
Absolutely not.
And if not, who will be the receivers that are cut or traded?
There's going to be a lot of turnover at that position in the offseason.
Yeah, to me, Jackson's the only one who's a lock.
Yeah, Brown's probably going to retire.
Gabriel, Smith, and Caldwell are just guys.
They could all be cut.
Right. I mean, they're just, I think.
If you're looking for a position with a lot of turnover from this year to next, it's going to be the receiver position.
And he says, regards, keep up the good work, and I'll see you in Miami. Steve Moore from London, England. PFW in progress worldwide.
He's going to the Super Bowl.
If he's a big Pats fan, I would make the trip over, do a week in Miami for a little vacation, Super Bowl tickets. That's a nice little trip.
Let me ask you a question. All these people who say see you in Miami, aren't those tickets kind of hard to come by? I was just thinking.
Yeah, it depends how much money you have.
Right?
Depends how much money you have. And if you have money, you can find them. If you know somebody, you can find them. If Mike Tice is around, you can find them. yes, Craig again. Brady celebration. The emailer is off base about Brady not celebrating the passing touchdown to Chad Jackson. The network showed Brady jumping around with joy and celebrating the TD with Caldwell. Okay. Who apparently drew coverage, leaving Jackson open. Brady hasn't lost his fire. He has lost great players and good friends over the years. I can't help but wonder how discouraged Tom might be in the Patriots organization. Between the losses on offense, defense, and the coaching staff, could he question the suit's commitment to winning? Especially in light of the fact that we are almost $13 million under the cap. Brady is the gun. Where are the bullets?
Everyone sucks but me.
Well,
you should play that during a game on the loudspeakers. That would be tremendous, Gary.
Unfortunately, those same suits, they pay our salary, so why don't you call WEEI and ask them that question.
Ask Paul Perillo. Yeah. I think they stream. You'll be able to hear it down in South Carolina. Although once Paul starts talking, that's your problem, not mine.
Paul comes to us direct from
that's
the
better, that's better than any medication you're currently on.
That's right. That'll put you to sleep instantly. Or you'll just be in so much pain listening to him that you'll forget about the pain elsewhere in your body. Vince Verotti checking in. First email. Hey, guys. I would like to say that this is my first email ever to the show, and I've been listening for a while.
Geez, that kind of sounds like a bookie I might owe money to.
I'm so glad that the Dion Branch talk is over. It was really getting old. Anyway, a lot of people are talking about how Gostkowski really bombed that kick Sunday, and I completely disagree. I think he'll be just fine. He's been perfect in preseason, and I believe he hit a 50-yarder during that time, too. It's just one kick that got blocked. Big deal. He's a great replacement for Vinatieri. Want to handle that?
I'm not worried. Like I said, I thought the kick was a little low. It's not like I'm ready to bring in another kicker. I don't think he's got a problem. We'll see as the year goes on when he has a chance to make some big kicks in big situations if he can come through. I wouldn't say, like, I thought the kick was a little low. I don't think it was all his fault, so I'm not going to put, I mean, if he shanked it, then I would be more concerned.
Right.
You know, this was a block, so it's a little bit different.
Yeah, but comparing it to preseason, it's not the preseason anymore. It's regular season. There's plenty of kickers that have made field goals in preseason.
I don't know if you saw, but the Patriots were hanging 41 points in the preseason.
Haven't been doing that lately. Jason Kennedy. Jason Kennedy from Cold Lake, Alberta, Canada. Interesting. Getting a lot. We're big. Canada,
everyone
England,
except the United States.
Bogota. I don't care. I'd rather be worldwide than just local. We're big fish in a big pond.
That's Bogota, Fred.
Bogota, Colombia. With a Bogota, a lot of cocaine. That's what I said earlier. So I misspoke. What do you want me to say? I misspoke.
Guys, 1,000 times to you, I'll get on my hands and knees. I misspoke.
Yeah. It's nice to have you back there, though. We got some little drop-ins. If we had a call, we'd be able to take it. 508-543-7482. 508-543-7482. If you tried to get
Believe
in earlier.
Me, I'd have rather have been down here than where I was.
What was the meeting about?
A couple different things, actually.
Stuff you apparently don't want to talk about on the air.
That I'm not personally allowed to speak of as of yet.
Okay. Something you'll be allowed to speak of after Sunday night?
Yes.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Tune in Tuesday to
PFW in Progress next week. We will have lots to talk about, and it won't just be this weekend's game with the Broncos. Hey, guys, great stuff. Keep it up. I think that the season starts against Denver on Sunday, and I'm very optimistic that the running game will keep this team going until the receivers and Brady get some mojo going. I don't get the impression that teams are believing in the running game of the Patriots yet and are not paying it respect. Sooner or later, teams are going to be bringing extra men in the box to stuff the run, and Brady will have a lot more single coverage downfield. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm sure as the season goes on and they know they have to defend the run, like Paul was saying earlier, John Lynch said they didn't respect the run last year, so they just blitz. I don't think you can do that anymore. But I don't know. I don't care what you do. Maroney gets to you, you're done.
Right. But I think, it only makes sense that over the course of the season, if a team does it for 3 weeks, then four, you give it more and more respect the longer it goes on. You know, at this point, maybe some teams out there don't think the Jets and Bills have very good defenses.
Right.
Maybe they say, you know what, they couldn't do that against us. So we're not going to have to you know, overly pay attention or bring extra guys up in the box. You know, it's obvious. If you do it for 16 weeks, then you've proven pretty much against the entire schedule that you can do it.
And that's the one way I think they can beat the Bengals, is if they eat up yards on the ground, go on those eight-minute drives, dink and dunk passing. If you get in a shootout with the Bengals, the Patriots won't win. I can tell you that right now, because they don't have enough weapons to keep up with them. But if you can get that running game going like Pittsburgh did when they beat them last year in Cincinnati and just pound away at them, that's the Patriots' best way to beat the Bengals in a couple of weeks.
For those of you Patriots fans that might be home or by a television, ESPN is currently showing something about the Patriots
there
and the Broncos.
Champ Bailey.
And Champ Bailey is at about the 10, the 15, the 20, 25. I'm saying he makes it all the way to about the 1 before he gets absolutely crushed. I feel like
Brady giving very
before.
Little effort.
And Troy Brown about to pack it in as well. Yep. And booyah!
Ben Watson.
So, yes, if you're by a TV, ESPN does have Patriots-Broncos highlights and some interview with Bill Belichick on. Not sure exactly. Oh, Benjamin Watson now talking about his miraculous play.
Everyone sucks but me.
Gary Hatch. Gary in Syracuse checking in. Luck of the Irish. Patriots seem to know when to let people go. Look at Adam Vinatieri, hurt. Oh, come on, they didn't know he was going to get hurt.
And plus, he hasn't missed a kick since he's been there. That, Jesus.
David Givens, looking very bad on a bad team. Nice choice, David. David Patton, DOA. He's dead on arrival? And I will be interested to see how much Branch does. How long will it take for these players to realize that they are good in a good system, but very average to bad in a not-so-good system?
When they're done counting their money.
It takes two things. You performing as a player and a system that makes it pay off when you perform well.
All those guys have Super Bowl rings, Andy?
Yep.
Mentioned?
Yep.
Okay, well,
yep.
Then, you yep. know, once you win those Super Bowl rings and somebody offers you $30, $40 million, it's funny how that looks more appealing to you.
I don't fault any of those guys for leaving for money or anything.
Hey, I never thought David Givens was going to be as good. I don't think he's going to be close to as good without Brady, but he took a lot of money. I'd have done the same thing.
But I got to tell you, I think David Givens thinks he's good, and
yeah.
I think every NFL athlete should. Any athlete to me that says, I'm a product of the system, I don't want that kind of
right.
athlete. I want the cocky, confident guy who thinks he's great. So, you know,
if Deion Branch gets hurt, that's just, you know, like he said, luck. I don't think it makes it, well, that was the right move for the Patriots if he gets hurt.
And I think Deion Branch is going to be productive in Seattle. I think he's got just as good a chance to go to a Super Bowl there as he does here. And he's got about 39 other million reasons why to sign to go to Seattle. So, you know, I have trouble faulting guys for, you know, taking care of their family and all those things that we make fun of them for. Steve Reed, 10 things I think. Hi, guys. 2-0, great start in spite of the inconsistencies. Here's 10 things I think.
Didn't he steal that from somebody?
Oh, yeah. It's like Peter King or somebody. Somebody famous,
right? Oh,
yeah,
it's Peter King.
10 things I think about this year's Pats. 1.
How dumb is Peter King?
Very. Ryan O'Callaghan and Logan Mankins, barring injuries, will be Pro Bowlers in 3 years. You agree with that?
I don't know. I don't know how you can tell an offensive lineman is going to be a Pro
either.
Bowler from two games.
But I think they both have played pretty well, and I'm happy with their performance. I'll go with that. 2.
Junior, God, this guy's worse than Spurgeon Wynn.
2. Junior Seau was a major upgrade over Monty Beisel. Tom Casale would be a major upgrade.
I was going to say the exact same thing.
You weren't going to say me?
No, I was going to say me because it's funnier if you use
what
me.
An eye guy he is. What
you
an eye guy.
Football
me,
in
me,
college.
I
didn't.
All right.
How about we use Fred?
Whoa, I don't know if it's true anymore.
Look at that douchebag.
3. Tully Vanacane will have a more productive year this year than Willie McGinnis will have for Cleveland.
I don't know. I see stuff like that I just don't care about. Willie McGinnis doesn't have the Patriots defensive line, you know, to play with, so it's...
I don't think it's true either.
It'll be close. I think McGinnis is nearing the end of his career, so if Vanacane keeps developing, I could see that happening.
4. Ty Warren will make the Pro Bowl this year.
Never.
Not true.
Just because he doesn't record sacks and he's not a big enough name. And
there's already one here. It's, if people say, wow, they're playing
right.
great, we got to send one of them. Richard Seymour's going.
Vince Wilfork is going to deserve
right.
some consideration, too.
5. The cornerbacks and safeties will be the weakest link in the defensive armor.
Oh, there's
yes.
no question about it.
6. On the offense, the receiving game will steadily get better as the year progresses, but it will take another 4 to 5 weeks.
I'd say right around there, yeah.
If it doesn't get steadily better, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
7. Chad Jackson will not be Deion Branch, but he will be a very good receiver, but Caldwell and Gabriel won't be difference makers. Watson will have more catches than either of them. I agree with all of it.
I'd have to say so.
Brady won't have a stellar year, like last year, due to the emphasis on the running game. Maybe 2,500 to 3,000 yards. I think he gets over 3,000.
He'd get over 3,000 easy.
9. The three tight end offense will start a new trend in the NFL. No.
No.
10.
The team's been doing that for 10 years.
Tom C., as in Tom Casale, will be sending me an autographed cluck-killing Corey Dillon jersey that he promised if Corey gains over 1,000 yards. I predict he'll get 1,100 yards and Maroney will be within 100 yards plus or minus of Dillon.
I'm Peter King.
I feel I'm sitting pretty good. He's played two bad teams and he hasn't eclipsed 100 yards yet. I mean, I know you can say the on-pace thing, but I think once he start playing the better teams, he's not going to get any yards, and they're going to go to Maroney. I'm actually pretty happy where I'm sitting right now. What do you think?
Yeah, I think you're okay right now. Plus, I think he's already hurt, isn't there?
Yeah, I was thinking against the Bills, that would be one of the 100-yard, you know, right. I was pretty happy he only had 70-some yards, so I'm feeling good. Plus, Maroney's only going to get more carries as the year goes on. This guy is an unstoppable rebel force. He's the best back in the NFL. Well, it reminds me, I was talking, you know, when I was with the Chiefs magazine, I was talking to the editor. We're talking about Larry Johnson, and I was like, I know Priest is Priest, but don't you get the feeling that Larry Johnson might be like the best back in the NFL? And he agreed with me. I kind of feel the same way about Maroney. I know Dillon still has some gas left in the tank, but I have a feeling you're leaving one of the top two or three running backs in the NFL on the bench when you give him the ball.
Steven Stewart. Hey, guys, at the end of the year, let Maroney know that flag football on the beach at the Pro Bowl is off limits. That's a little Robert Edwards thing. I'm not sure he'll go to a Pro Bowl, but... I mean, there's a lot of pretty good running backs.
He will, not this year.
Right. Yeah, that's what I mean. Not this year. But he's that good. I can't find one person in the press box as a fan who doesn't think he is great.
Borges thinks he's good.
Right. I mean, everybody literally thinks he's going to be one of the best running backs in the league. And that's hard for a guy. He hasn't had a 100-yard game.
Exactly.
He's got one rushing. He's splitting carries. I mean, there is no one who thinks this guy's not going to be great. And at this point, I think that's amazing to see that. Hey, John Rooks here, pointing at microphones from all over the place. John, you got to turn your headphones on.
This one?
Can you hear me? Can you hear me now?
On the side of your ear.
No.
Oh, boy.
Actually, why would I say that? I can't hear me.
It's on. Turn your headphones on. There's a switch on them. Yes. He took them off. And he can hear me now.
Hey, how tremendous. About that? It's tremendous.
What's up, John? What do you think about Lawrence Maroney?
What do I think about Lawrence Maroney? I think that he looks like he shot out of a shotgun when he gets the handoff in the backfield.
Do you think it's weird? We were just talking about this as you came in. Do you think it's weird at all that a guy's played two games, is splitting carries, hasn't had a 100-yard game, has one touchdown,
right?
And I cannot find a single person who doesn't think the guy's going to be great. Everybody thinks he's going to be great.
I think you probably can make that assumption based on you see his speed, you see his movement, he's got side to side, he's got missability, what I like to call missability.
I like that word. You know, missability.
He's got the sway. He's got the swagger.
Well,
now,
the other thing I like about him is that he'll just run you over too.
Well, that's just it. We need to find out, you know, how well his durability is, you know, how durable is he really going to be.
Right.
How long it will be before, you know, he learns to fight through injuries, because nobody really knows. When a guy gets dinged up for the first time, you don't know how well he responds or how well he fights through.
Who brought the dark cloud? I already got him in the Pro Bowl.
Right.
This guy's over here.
You have him in the Pro Bowl?
Not this year.
Not this year, but he is a Pro Bowl running back.
No, supposedly he was banged up before that first game.
Supposedly. You know what? You don't know who and who is and who isn't banged up around here, so I don't even pretend to guess anymore. You know, is he a Pro Bowl caliber back? Probably, because he's a first-round
draft. We really have found the one guy who doesn't think he's going to be great.
I just don't think he needs to go to Texas now.
That's true.
Now, Vince Young, that guy's a Pro Bowl.
Priest Holmes.
Mr. Negativity.
Ricky
here.
Williams. Do we need to go any further?
Yeah, Ricky Williams. How's that turned out? I don't know if you want to go down that road.
Heisman Trophy.
I can't believe. See, I thought I was tossing you a softball, and you're going to say, future Hall of Famer.
No. It's too early. You can't judge it on two games.
Oh, I've judged him. I agree with Tom. I think he's a Pro Bowl running back right now.
I hope.
I don't know
right.
if he'll make it, but I think his talent, obviously.
Obviously,
all this negativity that's in this town sucks.
That's
the
right.
size, the speed. I think he. One question I heard from some of his coaches was that he runs upright and he takes big hits. I haven't seen a ton of that. I've seen him missing a lot of hits. You know, where he goes down, he doesn't take that knockout blow.
That's my reference to missability.
Right. But that was a concern, that he's an upright, he looks for the big play too much. I haven't seen that. I don't consider it looking for the big play when you're 12 yards downfield and you're trying to make a guy miss. You're just playing football.
I think that he is, right now, he's a tremendous compliment to what Corey's doing. I think that the 1-2-3 punch that they have in the offensive backfield is as good as any team has in the NFL.
But according to one of our emails, you have to add in Heath Evans and Patrick Pass there.
1-2-3-4-5 punch?
Five deep, he says it's the best
Shouldn't
there is.
Shouldn't that be 1-2-3-4 and...
I think it's 1-2-3, and the other guys are irrelevant.
Pretty much.
Interchangeable. I think you could replace them if you needed to.
It's good to have, you know, Heath Evans, you know, I mean, when you need to go, you know, with a power formation, or you need to go out of the eye, or you're trying to punch it into the end zone, but, you know, that's fine. That's a luxury.
So what'd you think about the game this weekend? I'm sure you'll be talking about it in the next 2 hours on Patriots Playbook with John Rook.
You know, I don't know if we'll get, I don't know if we'll get to that.
You're just going
to
skip right past it.
I was obviously disappointed in the tackling. I thought it was, to me, that's the one lasting, I guess, impression that I'm left with the results of that game, the fact that I thought it was as shoddy a tackling job as I've seen the Patriots have in a while. And certainly the two biggest misses were the ones that resulted in big plays for the Jets, and that's what allowed them to creep back into the ballgame. So, you know, I think you correct a few minor mistakes like that, it's probably still not a ballgame. I also think, like a lot of other people, that Tom Brady did not have a very good game. It's 2 weeks in a row that he hasn't been very good. You can even go back into the tail end of last year to say before, you know, you can find the last game that Brady was, you know, really any good.
Whatever, Borges.
We're now ripping Brady for last January's performance against the Broncos.
I'm stating fact. That's all. I just think that, you know, the team is 2-0. They're fortunate to be 2-0. It's great to be 2-0 because, you know, they're playing probably better teams than what they played the first 2 weeks. They're 1-1 at best.
So you're going 4-12.
Oh no,
5-11.
No. They're getting ready to enter into their toughest part of the schedule right now, as far as I'm concerned.
Oh yeah, no question. The opposition is going to get better.
A cornerback from Texas with the 6th pick.
I need to read one email before.
Brown.
But is he going to be eligible, or is he going to be incarcerated at that point? Or?
No, he'll be out of
It was big of Mac Brown to have that rule. I heard everybody praising him for that. If you get arrested, you miss a game. That's
like
big
that?
Of him.
That was good.
Way to lay down the law.
I thought that was good.
Mess around and
leave. Hey, listen, if you're going to you're gonna win it, try to win a national championship. You got to be ready to, you know, run with the big dogs.
Scott McCandless checking in said, "Hey, Andy and Tom, long time no email, so I have to catch up. Did you say Perillo is gone?" That's right. Paul's no longer with us. He's gone. Forgotten. No, he just, he was here for the first hour, and then he went over, and he's doing WEEI.
Yeah, he was here for the first hour. He had to make a point.
Wow. He made 1 point, filled the hour, and left. Wow. Diarrhea of the mouth, Perillo. What happened to Gary? I don't know. Gary's in and out. He had someone here earlier who couldn't take phone calls, but he is back, and he brought out some wings, so he's on my good side, so I will not say another bad thing about Gary Gudecki. And then, today. That's true, because we're already over the 2 hour mark, so I'm gone for the rest of the day. Did Belichick give a game ball to that guy from the training staff who stood in front of the camera on the sidelines so they couldn't get a shot of Dylan? That guy was hysterical. Skinny white kid in the blue Patriots polo, and he's standing there like some bouncer at a club. I didn't see that.
I've heard about it, but I didn't see it either.
Gary, did you see
it?
It was
hysterical.
Who was it?
I don't know. One of the new kids who works down. He's behind the bench all the time.
But he was definitely a skinny white kid. Oh, okay. yeah, but that's what they do. They're not going to allow cameras to view anything they don't want them to view.
Well, you didn't see that. Did you hear Tom Casale on the WBCN pregame show?
No. What did he do?
No.
He was out with Borges. Tom picks the Jets to win the game, and Borges says, no, they're going to kill, you know, there's no way Jets are going to get killed. And he's like, whoa, Borges is saying this? They're going to lose by 50.
I knew I was dead right when Borges said they had no chance.
I was driving home laughing my tail off.
You got to figure he sits in his house for like hours trying to find a reason why the other team will beat the Patriots, and if he can't find one, then I must be off base.
And the other guy who does that is sitting right next to us,
hey,
John Rook.
Hey.
We'll take you through the next 2 hours, 2 to 4 p.m., Patriots Playbook here on Patriots.com.